government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
This is it, the big distraction, the big diversion, the big sucker punch to the American people's stomach, and a nice karate chop to the throat. It is the staged election of 2008. It is, of course, ladies and gentlemen, November 4th, 2008. He joins us once a month for his scheduled interview, and very timely, Mike Rivero, a Obama supporter, at least in a lukewarm fashion, joins us coming up for his once-a-month scheduled appearance today in 1 hour. Then Max Keiser, monetary specialist, syndicated columnist, international television news presenter. Max Keiser will be joining us from Europe, from London. And then for about 10 minutes near the end of the show, I'm going to have Senator Dean Barkley pop in with how that closely contested Senate race is going on up there with Mr. Coleman, Mr. Comedian Franken, and Mr. Barkley. So that is coming up as well. And I do want to take a lot of your phone calls today. Did a decent job of that yesterday. On any issue you wish to discuss, but, I mean, obviously, the election itself is important. 1-800-259-9231. 1-800-259-9231 will get you up and on the air. Now, I have a little rant, and from that rant, Paul Watson is going to do a story today about what this election really means and who Barack Obama really is and the whole left-right paradigm. So I can set the record straight about this radio show and myself and where I stand. So that is coming up. A million thoughts have gone through my mind the last few days about this, wanting to basically break this down on air, but I really haven't done it in its entirety, so I want to briefly. Coming up in the next segment, then we'll get into all of the false spectrum hologram news dealing with the false reality that people live in and the kind of sub-Warren beneath reality, beneath the true reality. Networks may call election before some polls close. That's Reuters. Rove, electoral prediction favors Obama win. All these top Republicans are saying Obama's going to win. Election guide, keep an early eye on Georgia, Virginia, and Indiana. Election watchers won't have to wait for polls to close in West Virginia. In the West to know how things are going. The first clues will come early when voting ends in Georgia, Indiana, Virginia. In the West, Democrat Barack Obama wins any of these three. He could be on his way to a big victory, maybe even a landslide. All over the news, Barack Obama is being described as a messianic leader. A top bishop at an Obama rally described him as the great prophet, the great lawgiver Moses, and the great change that's coming. Oh, I feel so sorry for you. Oh, there's change. There's change. Don't you worry. The eugenics and all of it will only intensify. We got a McCain memo out saying, you know, don't go off the exit polls. They're not accurate in the last 10 years. That's right. They were always accurate before, but now, because of election fraud, you can have somebody winning by 15 points in the exit polls, but if they're an anti-establishment candidate, they'll lose by 10, 20, 30 sometimes. Doesn't matter. You know, suddenly polls don't matter anymore. Suddenly exit polls don't matter because the CIA runs our elections, ladies and gentlemen. People don't want to hear that. They want to be part of the big horse race and the spectacle and be sucked in by it. And if we don't wake up to just how bad things are, we're never getting it back. We're never coming back. And I'm getting criticized for posting video of Obama calling for a youth brigade in the U.S. to spy on Americans. Oh, God help us. We'll cover it all and a bunch of other key news on the economy when we get back. I'm Alex Jones. PrisonPlanet.com and InfoWars.com have continual Matrix coverage on the fake election.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
All right, Paul Watson is doing an article via the basic analysis that I'm about to go over, and he's welcome to add any points he wants to. And I'm not making, this quote staged election about myself. I don't normally have articles written dealing with myself. But this is a microcosm of the majority of the American people who in major polls say they don't like either party. They don't trust the system. They believe both parties are basically identical and work for powerful special interest. The Congress has a 9% approval rating. That's 8 points lower than it had ever been in history previously. And it just continues to drop. And so I want it clearly on record. I don't want to be associated with the weak-minded, pathetic, sad people who I really feel sorry for, who are sucked in by John McCain and Sarah Palin and Barack Obama and Joe Biden. Do not associate me with your false paradigm, with your hologram you're living in, with the matrix you're living in. Get that straight. I'm not sucked into mindless football games that don't matter at the end of the day to my family and my future and this species. And I'm not sucked into these staged elections. Now, have we had a legitimate two-party system previously? You could say, to a certain extent, before Kennedy was killed in 63, yes. Were there special interests? Were there robber barons? Did they try to buy off both parties? Yes. Did we have other legitimate third parties that became one of the big two parties and replaced other parties in our history? Yes. But since the 1960s and the assassination of Kennedy, we had the shadow government, which was officially set up in 47, but that took over full operation of the United States. In 1963, they set up voter news services to steal the votes and put out fake election results at the state and federal level. And that's been done ever since. And I have done hundreds of radio shows, had hundreds of eyewitnesses and guests and congressional record on that. And remember, back when, back 10 years ago, they had polls where only about 8-9% of the American people, you can pull these up, believe that there was systemic election fraud, not voter fraud. That's always there. That's badly coordinated and low level and can't influence things on a national scale, certainly regionally. You've got local fat cats stealing elections at the election level fraud, not the retail voter fraud. And that's small compared to a unified, concerted system of fraud at the top. Now, I remember 10 years ago getting up on air and telling you that most elections were staged and stolen, catching the county clerk stealing the election. The state board admitted she falsified safety seals, broke safety seals, falsified signatures, double-counted ballot boxes, stuffed ballot boxes, and they said it was an accident. We had eyewitnesses that saw her doing it, multiple eyewitnesses that worked for the county. Some people lost their jobs over coming to me with this. I didn't just go on air and accuse Daniel Dubois of stealing the election. You think I want to get sued? You think I like to lie? You think I like to stick my neck out there? No, I went public. I went to the commissioner's court in the state, and I challenged that election, and it came out. She stole that sucker. Stealing all sorts of races in there. For Karen Sunlightner and others, for county commissioners. So don't tell me there isn't fraud. I've caught people being paid out cash money in the legislature. And that's been front page of the paper. And people have gotten in trouble with the Ethics Commission over it. Every time I go down to the Capitol, I catch them doing something. They're a pack of crooks. They get up on TV and violate state laws that are felonies and vote for each other and triple and quadruple, in some cases on camera, 8 different votes. They, in front of news cameras, will sit there jumping all over, voting over and over again, punching buttons of different congressmen, different legislators. in the state of Texas. And I could go on and on. You know what? I'm already digressing. The corruption is out of control. We have a group of criminals that run the government. They tax you. They regulate you to take the money and invest it in their own offshore bank accounts, in their own investments. Your pension money, all of it, they've taken it and they've invested it in their own private operations. It's openly corrupt. The CIA in 47 set up the Chicago 1313 system to take 60%+ of the tax money and invest it in offshore corporations for themselves. It's been totally corrupt since 47. That's when they completely took over. And they've been dissolving the state power and local power ever since, knowing that could be a backdoor to defeat them. Now they're bringing us under NORTHCOM control. So let me explain something about this election. The people that put sodium fluoride in your water, the people that put mercury in your vaccines, the people that get up on TV and lie to you and tell you it's the law, you've got to take vaccines when there is no law. The people dissolving our borders, the same people that staged the terror attacks, the same people that are putting in the Pentagon surveillance grid over the American people. They run things, not George Bush, not Barack Obama, not John McCain. Instead, every time I criticize McCain on the website, we're being equal here, showing them. People post, you evil liberal communist, you Barack Obama supporter. Every time we post a story of the puppet, we always point that out, Barack Obama for carbon taxes, regulating your life, shutting down farms and ranches, youth brigades, spy forces domestically. Hellish stuff historically, bad as it gets. Both of them proposing it. There's comment after comment going, this is a John McCain site. No, we've been the last few weeks going after Obama more because he's the apparent heir. He's the new emperor, the new titular head, the new front man, the new Caesar. He's got all the money and all the media behind him. So, of course. So, I had to deal with 8 years of Bill Clinton being called a right-wing Nazi fascist. And now, George Bush gets in office. I've enjoyed 7¾ years being called a hardcore Al-Qaeda. Yes, I've been called Al-Qaeda. I've had national publications say that I was probably secretly trained in Afghanistan and crap like that when I've never even been there. Never been to Central Asia. The point is, now I've been called an Al-Qaeda commie. When the two, of course, are an oxymoron. But the point is, now we get to be called fascist again. When Barack Obama is for the banker takeover bills, the empowerment, the looting for trillions of dollars, he's gotten 4 times the Goldman Sachs money of John McCain, 3 times the Wall Street money. And I hear people that are Barack Obama supporters on TV, on radio, saying, oh, all the big money's for McCain. Lying. Now, it isn't that I'm saying either or matters. The point I'm making is that they lie within those control paradigms to prop up their candidate. People fix their own mental view. They ignore the facts just because they can associate their personal power, their identity, like they do with a certain brand of pickup truck or a certain brand of soft drink or beer. Lone Star, it's a Texas thing. You know, they have all these little brand things. They sell you on it. And you watch with Barack Obama. There will be no repeal of Patriot Act 1 or 2. There will be no repeal of the John Warner Defense Authorization Act. There will be no repeal of the overthrow of Posse Comitatus to put military on the streets. There will be no end to warrantless spying on the American people and the spy satellites being used against the American people by local police now under federal control. There will be no reform in the direction the American people want, less government, less regulation, less control. It will be more of what the central banks, the social engineers, and architects want, taking our money and giving it to offshore corporations. And what little is left here is used to regulate and control our lives where we can only get government jobs or jobs funded by government contracts. You know, every show I go on and every TV show I watch It's the same thing. The American people want something done. They want to see something done by Congress. They want to, you know, they want to see more bailouts. They want to see more funding for government. No, they don't. In every poll, even the, quote, mainline liberals hate the banker bailout, hate the open borders, hate the war. Conservatives and liberals are together on almost every issue. It's Republican and Democratic parties that ignore the will of the people, and it just so happens the will of the people happens to be what the Constitution and Bill of Rights states, because it's common sense. But they hammer that in over and over and over and over again on TV. We've got to have everybody come to the center. The center means the globalist agenda. We've got to have both parties work together. The Republicans are going to be out of the executive, the House, and the Senate. And the Supreme Court justices generally vote with the, quote, controlled left. So you are going to see carbon taxes. And that's going to affect your paycheck, your job, your factory. Everything that uses electricity or natural gas or coal or gasoline, oil. They openly state in all the UN documents, the Club of Rome documents, the CFR, that they want to get rid of the American middle class, that we're spoiled, that we're bad, that we'll be more easily controlled once we're destitute. It is stated. I've heard them for 20 years on NPR talk about how soon we'll lower the standard of living with the carbon tax to control our lifestyles. It isn't about the carbon dioxide that plants breathe. It is about enslaving you, and he's going to do that, and gun control, and open borders, and taxes, and regulation, and everything else, and you're going to see the whole agenda that George Bush was the front man for expand. Just like everything Bill Clinton was for, George Bush expanded. Stop being suckers. Stop being idiots. We'll be right back. This is how the controlled left-right paradigm works, and I know most of you know this, but you better educate your neighbors. They're getting more informed, but not enough. They get sucked in by the pageantry, the horse race, ball game atmosphere of these elections, and all the endless, mindless,
living on the road, my friend,
petty minutia that they get everybody to focus in on.
Free and clean.
That sucks in friends and family and neighbors and people I respect.
And your breath.
And it's so sad for me to see this happen.
Weren't your mama's only boy?
Now, I really feel sorry for black folks because they are talking about him being Moses, this being the greatest change ever. Oh, they're going to be empowered and freed and it's going to be wonderful. No, a lot of black folks have entered the middle class. But it's going to hurt minorities who per capita have the lowest incomes even worse under all these carbon taxes, under all these regulations. Kennedy cut the income tax by 50% and tax revenues doubled in his first 2 years in office into his third year when they killed him. That's a historical fact. Every time they cut taxes, more revenue comes in. Because people make more money, the economy explodes. This is about control. We were brought into this recession and now this deepening recession going into hyperinflation by design. We have the documents. We told you they would call for world government run by the banks. We told you they'd call for a one world government currency. The UN called for that today. It's in Reuters. They're calling for it in hundreds of publications every day. Everything we told you. We know exactly what's happening. This show knows exactly what's going on. And frankly, most of the other Patriot talk shows don't. The mainline liberals and mainline conservatives don't. Because you don't read globalist documents. We do. Now, why do they want Obama? Well, after 8 years of Bill Clinton carrying the baton, carrying the ball so far, he was worn out. The public was upset and very angry with the Democratic Party. Because, again, the party is owned by foreign interests that don't have our interest. And so everything they do is unpopular. And so then they say, okay, George W. Bush will save you. And conservatives went and supported him no matter what he did because they were so mad at Bill Clinton. And then it took people 7 years to wake up. Bush's approval rating went down to, what, 18% or something? Cheney's at 9, Congress at 9, Hillary Clinton at 20-something. Because both parties do the opposite of what the polls say the people want. They do the opposite of what the Bill of Rights and Constitution says. And so they finally, with a year-long campaign, get people tied into it in the primaries. And okay, we hope there'll be change. We hope he'll remake things. Barack Obama, we'll vote for him. And what scares me about Barack Obama, and it wouldn't matter, again, if McCain's in the same agenda, the same policies, just different rhetoric, it's just that he would have no support. He would be tied to that dead political animal, you know, politically dead, George W. Bush, the lame duck. So the establishment needs Barack Obama. And they are doing something I've never seen them do, even with Ronald Reagan. They are building him up like a messianic leader, even mainstream news saying, hope, change, he will change the world. He is the president of the world. Newsweek is calling him the president of the world. And now we're going to go from the phony right-wing anti-terror, well, that's going to stay, though. All those policies are going to stay, but just now they're going to be quiet. They're going to depoliticize them. So it's not fashionable to fight them. The warrantless checkpoints, the police state, the face scanners, the thumb scanners to buy and sell, the federal checkpoints, the youth brigades, the tattletale squads, the FBI spying on the American people, regular army and defense intelligence spying on the American people. I told you that it was a whole bunch of brigades. If you read the bottom of the Army Times, it actually mentioned that the new brigade was joining all these other brigades and units. Now the Air Force came out 2 days ago, mainstream news up on Infowars.com. Paul Watson wrote a story about it at PrisonPlanet.com and announced, oh yeah, there's all these other brigades and units now joining on top of all the others. They're taking battle-hardened, psycho 4-5 tour troops back here to America. Gung-ho, over the top, the most hardcore killers from the Army. The most savage, battle-hardened units they've got, they're bringing right into Rome. They've crossed the Rubicon. They've openly brought them into Rome. They threatened Congress a month ago with martial law. They didn't go along with it. And Barack Obama says he supports it all. He's going to expand it and have a million-plus youth brigade of young people in uniform spying on their neighbors. And now I'm a right-wing John McCain supporter because I don't like him doing that. I don't like John McCain proposing the same thing and proposing, oh, let's have a military surge to fight crime with troops in America. You people in the left-right system, wake up! Stop being such idiots! You understand, ladies and gentlemen? I'll tell you why else they want Barack Obama when we get back and then take your calls. Nation's Radio Network. There are literally hundreds of other reasons they want Barack Obama in there. But the number one reason is, and by the way, Roman Caesars would do this in Gaul, in Germania, in Judea, in Alexandria. They would send in a governor for 4 or 5 years who would squeeze and torture and kill and act like a buffoon. They would even have the Roman heralds who would cry out the news of the government, badmouth the governor in the name of the Caesar. And then they would send the savior later, and the public would put up with even more tyranny just because they were well-spoken and would do a few public stunts to be nice to the public or let a few people out of prison. Now, I didn't give you the full equation there. This is in Roman handbooks. This is in quite a few books. I mean, I mentioned it a lot. Battle for Gaul mentioned some of that, but there's quite a few other books written on statecraft by Caesars and historians and others explaining how they would do this. But let's say they had rebellion in a province, and they didn't have somebody who was hardcore enough. They would then send someone even more vicious to, say, crucify a third of the population. You know, they would go into an area and round up tens of thousands of people over a year, crucifying them, hanging them dead out of trees all over the area. They would take incredibly expensive salt and ship it in and dump it into the fields so that they couldn't grow. And then they would send, again, after that person had just crushed and slaughtered everybody, the Savior. These are handbooks, ladies and gentlemen. There are slave handbooks written in Rome, republished by the British and the French for the sugarcane colonies in the Caribbean, on how to set the women up over the men, the house women, with the men out in the barn, and how to control that and how to raise the children up. It's a science. It was a science then. It's a science now. And they do everything they can to tell you government's inept and doesn't know what it's doing, and they couldn't tie their shoelaces. You know how complex a factory is, just an average factory that, say, makes glass? All the huge systems are a steel mill. How about NASA? How about the CIA? How about operations they carry out? Now, down at the low level, they do have slimy red tape bureaucracy, but that's only to capture you, not them. All right, I'm digressing, and I want to go to your calls. So here comes Obama, shiny face, smiling, well-spoken, all the right mannerisms and gestures. And the media does everything they can to build him up. And, oh, grandma gets sick right on time, and grandma dies. I tell you, that stinks, folks. It's like Clinton's mother was shooting her mouth off, bye-bye, mommy, right when he got elected. But she died the day before he got elected. But whatever. The point is, here comes the Savior, and they tell the world, he loves you, Europe. He doesn't turn your back on you. He doesn't turn your back on you, Arabs. Yeah, America wants to be friendly, but we are going to stand up to Iran, and we are going to go ahead and go into Pakistan, and we are going to encircle Russia. And Joe Biden and others say he's going to do some really unpopular stuff for the left. We're going to cut teacher pay, and we're going to increase the defense spending. Why, a $1 trillion defense budget, $400 billion bigger than the last one. That's not big enough. And we're going to do all these things, and open borders, and national ID cards, and all of it. Worker visas for all. And they're going to have the House, the Senate, and the executive. They're going to have the legislative and the executive. And they're going to have a media firmly behind him, and they'll probably stage a terror attack very soon after he's elected, within the first year, so he can grandstand and bomb some third world country, and conservatives will go, I didn't like him before, but I like him now. Because the good old boys will be getting Homeland Security jobs as they convert the economy over to that. Oh, it's going to be government make work, but it's not going to be building dams and bridges and rest stops and planting orchards. No, it's going to be, they say it's going to be domestic spies. By the way, Obama didn't come up with that. That was set up by George Bush, started by Bill Clinton, but actually executed. I'll never forget the Philadelphia Daily News and other papers describing freshmen, sophomores, juniors, and seniors in high schools across the country training in warrant service checkpoints, writing dossiers on their parents, and at the shooting range shooting M16s with the Army, the FBI, and the BATF. They're already all around you. Just like the 26,000 preachers hired to tell their flocks to accept martial law and turn their guns in. This is a huge military operation by the foreign banks, looting everything. So they're talking about change. Yes. We've had one leg hacked off. They're going to hack another leg off and let us bleed out. They're going to take the tourniquets off our legs. You absolute folks, you're going to see change like you never saw. And I remember going on air when George Bush was elected and saying, get ready, folks. Get ready. You're going to see tyranny. You're going to see stage terror. You're going to see a new world order because it's their job. Republicans and conservatives were at the point of rebellion over Bill Clinton. Here comes George Bush to pacify him. Then the liberals are at the point of rebellion over George Bush. The whole country woke up to him, not just liberals. Here comes the liberal savior. And, of course, we've seen massive election fraud, the Supreme Court appointing Bush, and then John Kerry taking the dive, and people going to prison for stealing the election in 2004. Oh, but now, see, Barack Obama will be elected in the landslide, proving the machines are safe and work. Meanwhile, stealing all the local elections from people the new order doesn't like, stealing governorships, stealing legislative seats at the states, unifying, cementing, quieting the debate about the voting machines. where we've gone from 90-plus percent not believing there's fraud to over 90% in major polls believing there is systemic top-down election fraud. That'll kind of salve that. And I've even heard the pundits say, oh, he'll bring people back into trusting government, back into working together as a country. But we're not working together as a country. We're going under their control. When people wake up in 4 to 8 years, they'll give us another sniveling fake Republican with lots of conservative talk who will then triple the size of the government again, like George Bush did, and triple the size of the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives. Triple the size of the Department of Education. Sign on to UNESCO and the UN treaties. All right, I've ranted enough. I want to go to your calls. Max Kaiser's coming up. Mike Rivero's coming up. I'm trying to get all the Webster Tarpley. I want to get him on for 20 minutes or so to debate with Rivero. That'd make for good radio. Interesting, thought-provoking. You know, Rivero, a guy I really respect, he has fallen to his knees before Lord Obama. And see, that'll create friction between us. I like him. I got him a show on Genesis. I promote him. I think he's a great guy. But I have to come out and say when I think he's wrong. I notice my stories aren't linked on his website anymore, but that's fine. Well, maybe they are. I haven't seen them lately. The point is that I have to tell the truth. I have to come out and say it, tell it like it is. And I will not be suckered into giving aid and comfort to Barack Obama, who's going to, quote, bankrupt the coal industry. You know how many? It's close to 1 million jobs coal industry provides, conservatively. You know what that's going to do? 49% of our power. But McCain was going to do it too. Jamel in Cleveland, Ohio, you're on the air, sir.
Yes, hello?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I've been trying to call your radio station for a long time. I kind of purposely waited for radio for election day. I'm a fan of your website to a certain degree, but I have a very different opinion of how you feel about Barack Obama, and I hope you give me time to express it. But first, I want to clear something up that you said back in the primary, you was talking about around the Jeremiah Wright when that whole situation was going on, and you had played a clip on your show of Reverend Jeremiah Wright, what he was saying about the American government and about them creating the AIDS virus.
And I said that I actually agree with him. And see, notice the media attacked Obama for the wrong reasons through issues like that.
Right. I didn't get a chance to say this, but I agree that I'm actually a big fan of Jeremiah Wright. But you said something that was totally wrong, and I have to clear that up before I go on to my point about Obama, and I just want to do this real quick. You said that Al Sharpton was New World Order, and that Al Sharpton had denounced Reverend Jeremiah Wright. Now, I listen to Al Sharpton's show every day, big fan of Al
Sharpton. What did I say? Now, hold on. Your phone's a little echoey. What did I say?
You said that Al Sharpton had denounced Jeremiah Wright after Barack Obama had denounced Jeremiah Wright, and you said that Al Sharpton was New World Order.
Hey, I saw Al Sharpton do it on Fox News, and okay. I don't lie, sir. Hold on. I don't lie. I did see him say that, and I said he's New World Order because he goes on TV with Pat Robertson pushing for a global carbon tax. Al Sharpton has definitely sold out to the system. I mean, he's all over TV now.
Well, just because somebody do a commercial for me in a New World Order. But first, I want to say I was listening to Al Sharpton's radio show the day that, as a matter of fact, at the moment that Barack
But he
Obama
puts out was, different messages on different venues, finish? My friend.
Can I please finish?
Yeah, but you're saying he didn't say it, and I saw him say it.
Let me finish. I seen it on Fox News, and I don't know what you called denouncing somebody, but I don't know, maybe you misinterpreted what he said, but at the moment that Barack Obama was denouncing Reverend Wright, Al Sharpton said, and I listen to Al Sharpton every day, I'm black, so I'm very in touch with the black community, and Al Sharpton practices black liberation theology, and at the moment that Barack Obama was denouncing Reverend Wright, Al Sharpton's exact words was this: I'm not going to denounce Barack Obama, but I agree with Reverend Wright. This is his exact words. I agree with Reverend Wright. Mm-hmm. I practice black liberation theology. And he said on the air, 3 television networks just called me and asked me to come on TV and denounce Barack Obama.
Okay, let me just stop you. I saw him on Fox News. I'm going from memory. It might have been CNN. The point is, he's on there all the time, so I doubt we saw the same program. And he said, you know, I don't think it's good. But look, sir, I'm not going to sit here and debate all this. It doesn't even matter. It doesn't even matter. You know what? I want to see black leaders, but I didn't. I saw a black state attorney out there telling black folks it was the law to line up and take shots, and then I had him on the show, and he said, well, I don't give my own children the shots, and it's not the law. And so I supported Reverend Wright in saying that the AIDS virus was engineered, and I talk about real issues. Let me tell you something. You're not going to hear Barack Obama come out against that. You're not going to hear him come out against Planned Parenthood. He's actually for it. Just like Margaret Sanger went, we have the documents, went and hired black folks to sell blacks on going along with eugenics. And so, just like white folks buying into, you know, the propaganda, black folks are doing the same thing. Just watch and see, and just see what happens, my friend.
Let me just make my point, because I'm going to get into that also. But the Al Sharpton interview was on CNN. He was on Larry King's show that night, and I didn't.
He was on a bunch of TV. I vaguely remember what you're talking about. Talking about Al Sharpton coming out against Reverend Wright. And I wouldn't have said it if I hadn't saw it. Look, I got to go. I got to go to other callers, sir. I appreciate your call. It doesn't matter. Don't worry. They're going to keep spraying the skies with aluminum oxide. They're going to keep putting poison in your water. They're going to keep on shooting your kids up full of mercury. They're going to keep those death mills going in your community. They're going to continue the wars. They're going to continue the taxes and the regulation. But it won't matter. We can all get into the fake football game of Barack Obama versus McCain. Okay? God help us. Oh, my gosh. Patrick in North Carolina, you're on the air.
How's it going?
Pretty good. Go ahead.
Well, I wanted to talk about two things today. The first thing was fluoride. I was at my dentist the other day, and I was asking them where fluoride came from and the first usage of fluoride. And she didn't know where the first usage of fluoride was, but she said fluoride came naturally in water and, like, in the soil.
Yeah, total lies. Calcium fluoride, stop. Calcium fluoride does, and small amounts of it's needed. You need small amounts of arsenic. Sodium fluoride's
exactly.
Deadly enough, but it's a cover name for a bunch of other poisons. Go ahead.
But, yeah, what they were saying on the National Cancer Institute's website was, sodium fluoride is found, but it's in such trace amounts that it's nothing. They have to add it to water by usage of, phosphorus, I think it is, extract? Some sort of...
No. Look, they take the total toxic waste...
It's a fertilizer, though.
From fertilizer and aluminum manufacturing, and they dump it in your water.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
It's not even really what you'd call sodium fluoride. That's a misnomer. It's a group of three different... Look, I've had top scientists on. Go, folks, go research it for yourself. It's deadly poison. But we're not going to worry about that. We're getting change. Just like we got with George Bush. Anything else?
She
told you that it was calcium fluoride and wonderful for you, and then what did you say to her?
No, she didn't tell me it was wonderful for me or anything like that. I was just asking her questions. She was giving me answers.
Well, remember, most dentists, most doctors...
I like to go around and ask general people questions because I like to get what...
No.
What are they telling other people?
They're compartmentalized. That dentist isn't bad, lady.
No.
Doctors aren't. They're compartmentalized. They're compartmentalized. They don't know why diabetes is up several thousand percent or cancers from 1 in 33 to 1 in 2 with males, 1 in 3 with females. They don't know why they've gone from 1 in 25,000 with autism to 1 in 87. They don't know why there's kids dying all over the place. But we do. Because we go and read what the research scientists are saying, what the government say. They knew when they approved cell phones in the 80s they were going to give you brain cancer.
Have you heard of getyouhome.gov?
Yes.
Yeah, it's a new thing. It's like the new NAU push that they've got going on.
They're taking over all the major roads to tax. That'll be the taxing authority to travel for the North American Union. It's all publicly announced. And the public is told it doesn't exist. But don't worry, you're going to have change. You're going to have Barack Obama.
In your passport to get to these places?
Yes, you're going to, you're going to have a North American Union. Yes, it's a North American Union ID, that's what they call it. And then on all the major 83 interstate federal highways, you will have to have that card to travel and you'll be taxed.
Yeah, that's exactly right, yep.
Oh, they got TV ads saying it now. Everything I told you was right out of government documents. Mayday, mayday, mayday. The bankers run it. The bankers run it. Barack Obama and George Bush don't run squat. How long have I been saying Bush is a puppet?
Forever.
And being called a commie. okay, when he tripled the size of the government. Now I'm going to be a fascist racist. So sick of it. So sick of the public being so weak-minded.
Nah, but really, people should get take a look at getyouhome.gov if you really want to see a hardcore push for the
John, AAU, a month ago, I sent you... Yeah, thanks, I appreciate your call. John, a month ago, I sent you... Or 3 weeks ago, I sent you the National ID card, North American Union ID card. I sent you a TV news ad for that. I actually sent you a government ad for that. You'll never find it. I don't remember the title. I think it was something like North American ID, North American Travel Pass. That's what it's called. Oh, help me. You know what travel passes mean? Do you know what carbon taxes mean? It's on what you exhale. The Club of Rome and the CFR say the state is organizing itself under a war economy to wage war on the individual and the family. Mayday! 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 Eastbound and down, loaded up and trucking.
Eastbound and down.
Global issues, tribalism, divide and conquer, balkanization to play us off against each other, Republican against Democrat, black against white, male against female, northern against southerner, American, you know, against Arab. Son, never mind them brakes, because we got a run to make.
The boys are thirsty in Atlanta.
And there's beer in Texarkana.
And we'll bring it back no matter what it takes.
Eastbound and down. Loaded up and trucking.
Are we going to do what they say can't be?
I remember in the weeks before the election, I was criticizing George Bush, saying they're both bad. Saying that Al Gore wouldn't be able to get the New World Order agenda through because people were wise to him because of Bill Clinton. And they were like, you traitor, you commie. Now I got black folks emailing me going, Alex, we liked you. How come you don't like black people? Oh, man. I don't even care what people think about me anymore. I know I'm right. All I do is study this, and I'm not a sucker. And I'm not going to be suckered. So you going out there, all you liberal, well-meaning idiots, black folks, everybody else, go vote for Barack Obama. If the establishment didn't want him, he wouldn't win today. There's election fraud. You remember that. When they didn't want Al Gore or John Kerry in there, they lost, even though they won. You just remember that.
Eastbound and down.
All right, I want to go to Ed, Francis, Jake, Scott, and others, but I just can't help it. I got
to
play this last part. Make no mistake, folks, the New World Order is on your tail. They are poisoning you.
Old Smoke has got them ears on.
And he's hot on your tail. And he ain't gonna rest till you're in jail. So you got to dodge him. You got to duck him. You got to keep that decent trucking. So let that hammer down and give him hell. Yeah, we're not going to stop. We're not going to get fooled by the presidential puppets legitimizing the fraud machines. We're not going
to
get scammed by the New World Order. Got Bev Harris popping in later. Max Kaiser, Senator Dean Barkley, Mike Rivero. Hey, here's there's a couple different TV ads, but here they are about your North American Union travel card. Oh, your North American travel card. Here it is.
Oh, beautiful, for spacious skies, for amber waves of grain.
For purple mountain majesties.
Above the fruited plain.
On June 1st, 2009, new document requirements will make getting home from Canada, Mexico, and the Caribbean by land or sea more efficient.
Now, isn't that beautiful, America?
Learn more about the Western Hemisphere Travel Initiative at getyouhome.gov.
When you go to the site, it's called the North American Travel Pass. It's like a driver's license. Now, that's the one they're going to give all the illegal aliens to make them legal. See, they're going to end the illegal alien problems. They're going to make it all legal. And it's going to be legal for you to go down there and back and forth. No border, baby. Nothing but those toll roads taxing the daylights out of you. Every agenda of George Bush is going to be followed by Barack Obama because it wasn't George Bush or Bill Clinton or Ronald Reagan's agenda. It was the New World Order's agenda. It was the corporate bankers. Every way they can tax you. Every way they can regulate you. Every way they can cheat you. Oh, man, all those years of being called a right-winger under Clinton, now to be called a hardcore commie for the last 8 years, and now I'm going to be a racist. Because the public is drinking the Kool-Aid, and again, it's only about, what, 35%, 40%? They're saying 80% turnout, so I guess about 40% of the country or more is going to be voting for Obama, so that's quite a group suckered back in. 9% approval rating for that Congress. You can figure out they're a pack of criminals, 1,000-to-1 phone calls against the banker takeover, but they passed it. I thought Obama was bringing change. He was the biggest guy out there pushing it. When 95% of us, didn't matter what color you were against it. Well, get ready for a lot more.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
The amazing Max Kaiser joining us in 1 hour. Don't know who he is. You'll find out. Mike Rivero joining us in about 8 minutes. We'll have open phones. Bev Harris popping in. Senator Dean Barkley popping in for the Senate race up in Minnesota. It's all coming up here on Election Day. And, you know, I'm tempted, because I'm already staying up here at the office, to go on international Iranian TV, international British radio out of London, and some other news. I might as well just maybe do a special report tonight on PrisonPlanet.tv and only on the internet streams. Won't be on the AM and FM dial. I don't know. I guess I could talk to Ted and have another board op coming tonight. I guess I could go live in my rebroadcast slot on the network, cover the election, see if we can make that happen. All right, let's take a few more calls. Ed in Colorado. Go ahead, sir.
And, Sean is a big supporter of you, and he's in trouble. He's in Thailand.
Who's a big supporter?
My son, Sean Fitzgerald. He's a member of the 9/11 Colorado 9/11 Visionaries and We Are Change.
Yeah, they're great folks. What's up? What's happening?
Well, he's in Thailand, and he's been chased by paramilitary police, and he's taken refuge in a medical clinic in Mai Sot, Thailand. And he called me and asked me to call you. He called me about an hour ago, and I called you immediately.
Well, how are we going to help him in Thailand or in a medical clinic?
Well, he thought maybe there's some way you could call attention to his...
I got a sneaking suspicion he was videotaping things in a country that isn't so free.
No, he's a stay-at-home dad with a... and his wife...
No, Mel, I'm not saying your son's bad. I'm trying to imagine why they're after him.
Yeah. Is there anything that anyone can do that could...
Well, I mean, what's the specifics?
He said that last night he was... chased by some paramilitaries and got injured and then was taken into the medical clinic where his wife works, and now he's afraid to go out of there because...
Yeah, he was chased by the youth corps, I guess, or one of their local militia brigades.
Yeah.
You want to tell people where the clinic is? Or I mean, have you called the U.S. Embassy?
No, I haven't. He asked me to call you first, but I think I'll call them next.
Well, listen, I would like to help your son. Now, what's his name again?
Sean, S-E-A-N, Fitzgerald, F-I-T-Z-G-E-R-A-L-D.
What line of work is he in Thailand?
His wife is a senior administrator for the medical clinic for Dr. Cynthia. It's a well-known foundation, and he stays home and takes care of his 7-year-old son, and he teaches some English and does other things, but...
Yeah, Thailand's totally brainwashed. They worship their king and queen. Total police state.
Yeah.
He
was doing fine for a year, and then I don't know what happened, but...
Well, people ask why I haven't left the U.S. One reason, I'm going to stay and fight in the info war, but the second reason is there's not a lot of places to run.
Yeah.
Well, how do we help him? And what do we do?
Well, I'll call the embassy. Can I email you about this?
Sure.
Okay, then I'll email on your website, and I'll get more information and stay in touch, okay?
Okay, thank you. You need to call the embassy, and that's the first thing I do. Okay, getting off the election there for a minute, but I'd love to be able to help you, Ed. We're going to take more calls from Francis and Jake and Scott and many others that are patiently holding at 1-800-259-9231. It is November 4, 2008. Americans are lining up thinking that they're actually going to have some change with Barack H. Obama. They would have gotten identical agendas, just different rhetoric from both men. This will legitimize the electronic fraud machines. And this will sucker the public, I guess, for 4 to 8 years again as the carbon taxes, the youth brigades, all of it unfolds. And all these people are saying, well, let's see if that's just rhetoric from Obama. Obama doesn't run anything. What are you talking about? We'll be right back. Not going to run anything.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
About this, because it's become quite an issue on the internet. Mike Rivero is a great guy. I really respect his political mind. You know, I was teasing him earlier about, hey, not linking to my stories, but he actually has been. He told me Watson hadn't been sending him as many, so I'm going to chastise him over at whatreallyhappened.com. But it is these types of political fights that do get friends, family, neighbors at each other's throats, and that hasn't happened with Mike and I. It's just that he gets emails trying to stir stuff up between myself and him and others. I get emails and constant comments on the Infowars.com pages about why is Mike Rivero supporting Barack Obama? Why is he pushing his campaign on his Genesis show? Why is he pushing it on his website? And look, I just want to make this point. He's a smart guy, and he's been right about a lot of things. And my whole point is that I'm not supporting John McCain. But I do agree with Webster Tarpley that John McCain would be a total lame duck. He would have no support. And then you'd have a Democratic House and Senate, and that would be a separation of powers. And that then he wouldn't be able to get any of his agenda through, which is almost identical to Obama's on more wars and carbon taxes and all these other bad things. So I've had callers calling in, you know, one earlier kind of mad at me for not supporting Obama. And I've had people emailing me asking if I'm a racist because I'm not supporting Obama. Folks, I can't do it. Just like I couldn't support George Bush or Al Gore in 2000 or either one of them in 2004, John Kerry or George Bush. I made a film about it called American Dictators. I just can't do it. And I've got my reasons for, you know, saying that. I know Mike's got his reasons for saying he thinks Obama's the lesser of two evils. And he says there's going to be no honeymoon. He'll immediately start going after Obama. But when I see him being the heir apparent, the media being behind him and all of this, it really stinks to high heaven. So we have to be able to agree to disagree and not descend on each other, though I do want to have Tarpley pop in about 20 minutes, because that makes for lively debate and radio, you know, to have a discussion with Rivero, first and foremost, because it'll be very thought-provoking. But, Mike, you've got the floor. I mean, why are you supporting Obama?
Well, again, it's not so much that I'm supporting Obama because after he started moving centrist, he started saying a lot of things I disagreed with. It's, as you said earlier, I see him as the lesser of two evils. It's really more being opposed to John McCain, a.k.a. Bush Light. And I had a caller into my own show who really kind of nailed it. What's really turned off a lot of people was the manner in which McCain ran his campaign, avoiding the issues, going for the personal attacks, the flood of emails that probably you've been getting as well as I do, that, you know, Obama's real father was Malcolm X, and just this kind of nonsense. And I think future history is going to look back at the McCain campaign and really point out the choosing of Sarah Palin was the big mistake, because it really made a lot of people question McCain's ability to make good decisions, and that's what we pay the president to do. And I'll be honest, and I've said this on my own show, if McCain had picked Ron Paul to be his vice president, I probably would have supported him over Obama. like that in the heat of the moment, then he cannot be relied on to make the right decision if something really bad starts happening to the United States. He'll lose his temper, he'll go with his first gut call, and that's a really bad way to run a country.
But that's what the system did. They ran a political corpse, a guy who statistically will be dead in a few years. Most people don't even live a few years. He's lived 9 after that cancer. On average, 90-plus percent die after 10 years. He's had a relapse. I mean, they ran like Bob Dole against Bill Clinton, who you hated in 1996. You know, you fought against Clinton. And so, I mean, I see them running this political corpse by design because they see Barack Obama as their heir apparent. I mean, Mike, you're against the carbon taxes. You were a Ron Paul supporter. You were against Bill Clinton. I mean, what's scary is they're going to have the House, the Senate, and the executive. They're going to be able to ram through whatever they want.
Yeah, you know, it's not a perfect situation. And again, just like you and I don't agree 100% on everything that we talk about, there was no candidate out there that I 100% agreed with. So it really came down to, you know, a numbers game. And again, I think the reason we're seeing the election results that we're seeing start to emerge across the country, it's not so much that people were for Barack Obama. They were just tired of what we've had for the last going on 30 years. And change really was the buzzword. Of course, the economy starting to fall apart a little earlier than the Republicans hoped it would.
And that's 28 years.
That was certainly a major factor.
Just interrupt, and we'll go back to the economy. 28 years since we haven't had a Bush or a Clinton on the ticket. So, yes, people are saying we want a change. The problem is the very same interest that control those other two families are clearly in control of Barack Obama.
I'm not sure how clearly in control they are. I know Obama's a professional politician, and he says whatever he thinks he needs to say to win. But, you know, if you look at the various issues that are kind of a push for both of them, it really comes down to enthusiasm. And whereas Barack Obama talks about war in Iraq and Iran, although he's talking about bringing the troops home a lot sooner than McCain was, I really got a sense that McCain enjoys the idea of being commander-in-chief and sending people off to war, whereas Barack Obama, I think, is willing to do it if he perceives it's necessary, but he's not as in love emotionally with the idea. And the bottom line is that I keep going back to Lyndon Johnson and this famous meeting he had with Dr. Martin Luther King in the White House, where we brought Dr. King and said, okay, how are we going to get this civil rights thing to work? And Dr. King, after realizing that Lyndon Johnson wasn't kidding him, said, you know, Mr. President, forgive me, I'm gratified to hear you making some serious plans about civil rights in this country, but it's so at odds with what you said during your campaign. And Lyndon Johnson said, well, then I was campaigning, and I had to make my supporters happy, and now I'm the president, and I can do what I feel is right. And you know that old Negro spiritual, free at last, thank God Almighty, I'm free at last. And, you know, I hate to be making my political choices on the basis of who I think is actually hedging a little bit more, but I think when Barack Obama finally gets into that Oval Office, I think he's going to be more inclined to follow his own lead and a little less do as he's told. And I think that's one of the reasons there was such, you know, vocal opposition to him coming from a lot of the vested interests. Now, as far as McCain being put up there in order to lose against Obama, I don't think that was the case. I mean, McCain was all but gone when Joe Lieberman came in and said, I support him, and all the money and the media attention came in. And I think the Republicans had a strategy that they were going to run McCain against Hillary, and that they could beat Hillary. And I think McCain would have beat Hillary. But I think that both Republican and Democrat strategists were paying so much attention to Ron Paul, they weren't really studying Barack Obama until he had already got himself a good, solid foundation. And the bottom line is that McCain just keeps making mistake after mistake after mistake in his campaign. Not only just Sarah Palin, but the way they approached the negative campaigning, the way they tried to manage the internet with this top-down sponsored website approach versus Barack Obama got right into the social networking and just really comprehended how that was all working. And again, it really comes down to, if you look at the speeches that we saw at the two conventions, you know, Barack Obama does have the ability to inspire his audiences with the idea that it's possible for things to be better.
Yeah, and to sell us, Mike, to sell us on a whole agenda of tyranny. After 8 years of Bill Clinton, Republicans wed themselves to George Bush, supported everything he did, and brought us all that tyranny. It's dangerous. That's why they staged 9/11, was to get all of this political support. You've got Joe Biden clearly involved with the head of Pakistani intelligence, clearly involved intimately in the 9/11 attacks. It's the same military-industrial complex that's in real control. You don't see Barack Obama saying, repeal the Patriot Act, stop the torture, put Posse Comitatus back into place. Contrary to that, he's saying, you know, he wants a million-man domestic spy force. I mean, Mike, it just doesn't fit.
Well, you know, there is no ideal solution in this race since Ron Paul got, you know, blocked out. And I've not been shy about saying that. When Ron Paul was running, I absolutely supported and backed him.
But, Mike, that's not the point I'm making. I understand. You're saying you're going with what you've got. My whole point is,
yeah,
we have a 9% approval rating for Congress. The people are finally getting it's all controlled. I mean, you always say the best way to bring down a dictator is make him act like a dictator. Instead, you're going to have 40-something percent of the public that's going to end up voting for Barack Obama, record 80-plus percent turnout, who will now support whatever he says because he's their man, and they had a, you know, tightly contested race and are wedded to him psychologically. It's going to be horrible.
Well, I don't see it that way, obviously. I mean, we saw the same phenomenon when Bush got into power, but, you know, obviously, I think because of alternative radio, because of shows like yours and our websites, I think the political honeymoon for Barack Obama is going to be a heck of a lot shorter because the American people are very upset. And Barack Obama's coming in at a time when the economy is in serious trouble. Yeah. You know, if he doesn't show positive results for everybody in the first couple of weeks, he's going to have a miserable, miserable
Mike,
time.
Mike, that's the thing. He actually was against giving any of the bailout money to the American people, and I'm against socialism, but if you're going to only give it to foreign banks, might as well give it to the people. And he is for even bigger banker takeovers here. So that's what I'm saying. I mean, you know, he's doing everything that's actually unpopular with the public. They're just hoping things are going to be different. Stay there, Mike. We'll continue to discuss this and take phone calls. We're going to have Webster Tarpley pop in with you. That should be some lively debate and discussion when we get back after this quick break with Mike Rivero. Let's go right back to Mike Rivero.
Well, I'm not the kind
Mike,
to kiss and tell.
You're a smart guy. You know about the globalist agenda.
I've never been with them.
All I'm saying is that he's a front man for the same interest. Carbon taxes, domestic spy forces, banker takeover, empowerment. I mean, it's all the same thing. And we've got the Democrats are going to be in control of everything. We'll be going into some of the numbers and exit polls that are coming out in the next segment. And then we're going to have a bunch of people, 40-some percent of the public, that are going to suddenly support it because all the police state stuff put in, oh, that was George Bush, but then Barack Obama won't repeal any of it. I mean, what are you going to do when he doesn't repeal any of this?
Well, you know, basically what you're saying about Barack Obama can also be said about John McCain. It is a push between the two of them. And so what you need to do is look at the places where they're going to be different. And as I said before, the reason I started pulling away from McCain and leaning toward Obama was that, yes, they're both, you know, in contact with the same movers and shakers. It's a question of enthusiasm. And McCain, I don't sense any hesitation on his part at all. He'll just do as he's told. And I think that Obama, once he's in office, he'll drag his heels a lot more. And I know that's a very subtle difference on which to base, a choice like this. But, you know, when you talk about all this new world order stuff and the influence and the buying of the politicians, and yes, it's on both sides of the aisle, it's on both sides of, you know, of the campaign, so you have to just say it's a push. It's a push. Where are they different? And let's look at that. Now, again,
they're going to have an inaugural
bombing. I really
wanted
Ron Paul to be there.
Listen, I understand. They're going to have an inaugural bombing to make him look like a tough guy. He's going to invade some country, probably Pakistan. I got a bad feeling. Again, I'm not saying vote for McCain. I'm just pointing out, get ready, folks. We're going to get change. It's going to be tyranny.
Well, I hope you're wrong, obviously, and you know, but time will solve that mystery. The bottom line is, I'm convinced that McCain, because of the way he ran his campaign, that's the way he's going to run the country. And you know, we're getting all these reports about vote fraud from across the country. People going into voters' lines and telling Democrats they're supposed to vote tomorrow. We're getting this from all across the country. This election is not the study in foregone conclusions the media is trying to pretend it is. You know, but I'm a great believer. How the candidate runs his campaign is how they're going to run the country. And looking at the way McCain ran his campaign, it's not a pretty picture.
Well, all I'm saying, looks like Barack Obama's going to win. And so let's just start now saying we want to demand they repeal the warrantless spying on American people.
Agreed.
They've announced a bunch of other brigades that are going to be joining the homeland. We need to tell... I mean, Mike, you're not suddenly for troops on the streets because it's Obama, right? I mean,
no, I'm absolutely not. And again, but these new troops that are joining the current ones on the street, that's coming out of the Bush White House. And remember, even if Obama wins today, and you know, and it's out of your and my hand anyway, the voters are going to the polls.
We got
really
3 months more. We got 3 months more.
Yeah, we've got 3 months more of Bush, and he is, you know, if Obama wins, he's going to want to set things up so that Obama and the Democrats take a huge, huge fall. So, you know, we could see the corporate giveaways go until there's just absolutely nothing in the Treasury when the Democrats take
over. Wait a
minute.
Barack Obama has been, he helped get it passed in the House a month ago on that Friday. He went in there. He went on TV. He said, I'm the champion of the bailout. Mike, let me ask you this question. Who's got more Wall Street money 3-1?
At the moment, Barack Obama, but the reason for that is it's been obvious to a lot of insiders that he is likely to win, and everybody wants to give money to the winner so that they're owed the favors. The same people who gave money to Barack Obama also gave it to John McCain. And originally, when Barack Obama was just starting out, most of his funding came from the grassroots, and the big money people were going to Hillary, and they were going to John McCain. As soon as Obama won the primary and took it away from Hillary, that's when all the Wall Street people said, oh, this guy could really do it. We'd better get on his good side.
Yeah.
And, you know, the whole rationalization for public for allowing funding of the candidates instead of, you know, a flat public grant for the campaign is the ability to raise money is supposed to be a measure of popular support. And it's crooked and it's corrupt and there's a lot of problems with it. But it's, you know...
Well, that's my next question, Mike. We know there's election fraud coast to coast going on by different, you know, little local viceroys, and there's also fraud orchestrated nationally by how they announce the results through Voter News Services, now under a new name. This is going to cement, and in the people's minds, the left has seen it as they've been cheated. So if it was really George Bush, you know, who stole two elections, how come they can't steal it again for John McCain? Won't that be an endorsement by the electronic fraud system of Barack Obama?
Vote fraud only works when the races are close. It can't reverse a landslide or it's too obvious, and I think that's what everybody believes is going to happen today. The margin is going to be too great to reverse it in the courts or in the machines.
And regardless, it's going to legitimize the voting system, and people that were awake are going to go to sleep, and we'll all just dance down the yellow brick road with our Savior, our Lord, Barack Obama.
Front porch sitting in an old rocking chair. The sun is hot in the Texas sky. Garden growing, clothes out on the line. A dusty road when a car goes by. Storytelling of days long ago. And the only place she'd ever been. Singing softly, this world is not my home.
All right, folks, we are back live. Thank you for joining us. Let me introduce our two guests with this piece of audio for everybody out there who is tuning into us today.
Millions watching on RTL. Let's get ready to rumble!
listen, it's always thought-provoking to have somewhat of a debate, and I just put this together today. In fact, we finally got a hold of Webster Tarpley about 30 minutes ago. I wasn't even sure I was going to have him pop in with Mike Rivero today. Mike's a great guy who I really respect. You know, I met with Willie Nelson for about 4 hours with Jesse Ventura. Ventura's against both candidates and the false left-right paradigm. But, you know, even Willie Nelson, who's anti-New World Order, has a lot of courage. He's just so sick of George Bush, he says, well, let's just give Obama a try. Let's see what happens. And then if he turns out bad, we'll come out against him. And, you know, he wants to support a black guy. He wants to, you know, have good civil rights. He wants to go. He wants to see black folks have that pride. He, you know, he wants to see wars end. He wants to hope. I'm just sorry. What I see from Barack Obama is actually the whole New World Order agenda that every president for 40 years has been following for 45 years intensifying. And the Republican that comes after him, it'll be even worse. So I wanted to bring up Webster Tarpley for the next 30 minutes, maybe 5 minutes of the next hour with both of them, so we have a full half hour. Webster Tarpley, who is, of course, what I'd call a progressive, kind of a mainline liberal in the whole system and thought of Mr. Roosevelt during the Depression, which I actually really disagree with overall. But I respect him as well. So I disagree with both these men fundamentally on some issues, but I also respect them and believe that they, you know, have a great intellect and you know, positions that need to be looked at to have a full debate, not be closed-minded. So let's bring up Webster Tarpley. We've had Mike Rivero on for the last 25 minutes or so telling us why he's for Obama, that he's not giving him a honeymoon, but he hopes. Tarpley, just in a nutshell, and I want to go back, you know, tit for tat back and forth with you and Mike Rivero of whatreallyhappened.com, of course. We have Webster Tarpley of the unauthorized biography of George H.W. Bush and the unauthorized biography of Barack H. Obama. He dislikes both men. Tell us what we're really dealing with here with what looks like a huge landslide for what is being called the new president of the world, the savior of Earth by mainstream media, Barack Obama.
Alex, you have to stop calling me a liberal. I'm not a liberal in any sense of the word. Liberal means two things, that you think that bankers rule the world. I don't. And you think there's no such thing as right and wrong, and I don't agree with that either. I am an American system traditionalist. You want to call me something? I'm a Hamiltonian. Okay?
Well, I understand the Hamiltonian. My goodness,
I would call that Alexander Hamilton.
He wanted
the American
king.
Main line.
Yeah, I know who Alexander Hamilton is. Whatever. You support Roosevelt, and in my book, that's classic mainline, you know, U.S. Democrat, whatever you want to call it.
This has nothing to do with somebody like Pelosi. In other words, Roosevelt and Pelosi are polar opposites, and that's also the problem with Obama. Roosevelt is somebody who fought the Wall Street finance oligarchs and defeated them repeatedly. He got reelected 4 times by the American people. This indicates something profound. Obama, of course, is a puppet carefully prepared by the Trilateral Commission and the Bilderberg Group. One of the reasons he was chosen is that his blackness gives a kind of cover.
Left cover.
Left cover, if you like, radical cover.
Let me just stop you, Tarpley. I don't want to get into an argument over little you know, issues. But American traditionalists, you've said that. And absolutely, he's got the heavy hitters. He's got the real global elite behind him. Finish up. You got 2 minutes, and I'm going to go to Mike.
All right. I think Obama is the most dangerous presidential candidate that we've seen. He is in the same tradition as Jimmy Carter, but he's about 100 times worse. He is similar to Carter in the sense that he was a carefully chosen creature of the Trilateral Commission, Bilderberger Group, Rand Corporation. We have decades and decades of right-wing reactionary rule in this country, punctuated every now and then by these abortive interludes where we have a left-wing demagogue who comes in and uses slightly different slogans, generally human rights slogans, to try to relaunch imperialism in the world. This is what Obama will do, try to give imperialism a facelift, try to convince people that American imperialism is not what they've learned that it is, but rather that it's something fresh and new and progressive. His main tasks will be kicking the Chinese out of Africa if he can, and courting confrontation with Russia and China. And naturally, since Zbigniew Brzezinski is running the show, they will be using proxies. They'll be using pawns and puppets and kamikaze states in the same way that they used Georgia against Russia. They'd like to use Iran for that, and really any other place that they can dupe and mobilize. On the internal front, and really all I'm saying is what Joe Biden said in Seattle. Biden said 2 things. There'll be a confrontation with Russia in the first 6 months. The righteousness of the U.S. position will be in doubt. It means that Obama reopens the door to false flag operations for them. And then also supporting aggression like Saakashvili. The other perspective that Biden gave in Seattle was a 12-month perspective that Obama will be so hated because of his economic decisions, which will be those of draconian, crushing, brutal austerity, not to redistribute the wealth. The Republican propaganda is crazy on this point. Obama's not going to redistribute the wealth to the little people. The wealth goes to his owners, to Rockefeller, Soros, Goldman Sachs, the people who pay for him. He is a Wall Street deployment in every way. Two other things. In terms of fascism, you have to think about human rights in this country. In other words, free speech. Will we be able to broadcast? Under Bush Cheney, I don't know about others, but I've been broadcasting, and I know Alex has, and I think Mike also.
No, they've been openly discussing, and Democratic senators and House members are on record talking about the Fairness Doctrine. And
right, and we
have the Obama police in Missouri on record themselves saying, if you lie about Obama, we'll arrest you. Stop there. I really want to go to Mike Rivero. Mike, you want to go back and forth here?
Well, I want to respond to some of the things that Webster was saying, and my first comment is that the Bilderbergers and the Trilateralists, and for that matter the CFR and the rest of those group, they played the game very much like the Wall Street and financiers. They tend to back all of the people they think have the potential of pulling off a run for the White House. So it's not a case that they're in a position to say, okay, you're it and you will automatically win, because this, you know, the whole country right now is really badly factionalized, and there is no one group that is unquestionably in power. As you say, you've got the Rockefellers on one side, and they're fighting against this group over here, and they war amongst themselves, and we get to sit on the sidelines and watch it. So the bottom line is, my read of the situation was that the groups that Webster is talking about really did pin their initial hopes on Hillary Clinton, because she was a woman, she was going to carry the woman's vote, and you know, we saw a lot of vote fraud during the Democratic primaries was favoring Hillary. So I think, you know, if you get into the realm of secret backers, I think they were leaning really more toward Hillary than Obama. But Obama pulled off an upset in the primaries, and at that point, everybody started saying, well, let's get on his good side, let's buy his interest. Now, that's not to say that Barack Obama is not owing a lot of favors to a lot of the same people that Bush did, Hillary did, and McCain does. But I don't think he was the number one choice of the people behind the scenes. And again, this gets back to the issue that once he's in office, he may very much turn out to be like John Kennedy. John Kennedy went into office owing a lot of favors. He owed a lot of favors to organized crime for Chicago. He owed a lot of favors to various other groups. And once he was in office, he said, okay, I don't have to really take care of them anymore. And he sicked his younger brother at the Justice Department against organized crime. He basically started saying, okay, I don't need the CIA anymore. And he really angered a lot of people, which unfortunately led to the tragedy in Dallas.
Yeah, but we don't see that, Mike, coming out of Obama. He's talking about youth brigades, supporting troops in America, and supporting this whole agenda. But Tarpley, what about his point that they did clearly in New Hampshire, and we had eyewitnesses there and people that were nonpartisan covering it, they did cheat Paul and they did cheat Barack Obama. They tried to cheat him in New Hampshire.
Vote fraud all the time by all sides, and the result of the election is a vector sum of vote fraud, as I said at the time. Today, the biggest vote fraud is in favor of Obama. The intelligence community is pro-Obama. The FBI and the CIA love Obama, and they will go down the line for Obama, because that is the order coming out of Wall Street. However, the idea that Obama is some kind of a free agent with free will, I think, is tragically wrong. My finding is that Obama has been brainwashed, if you will. He has been fostered and prepared since his time at Columbia, 1981 to 1983, which is likely when he was picked up by Zbigniew Brzezinski.
Yeah, he's been under deep globalist tutelage.
Absolutely. That's probably when he met Bill Ayers and Bernardine Dorn, the weatherman, terrorist, bomber, killer.
Which, again, are foundation killers. Protected.
Pardon me?
Foundation creations.
Yeah, these are funded operations of the foundations. If you look at Obama, everybody in his personal life is a provocateur of some kind. You've got the foundation-funded racist provocateurs, Jeremiah Wright and Flager and Meeks and Dwight Hopkins and Otis Moss at this so-called church. You've got criminal elements, of course. You've got Rezko, Auchi, and Al-Samari in this stew of corruption that Obama
has. Yeah, but that's only his. That's only his foundation left covered as well because of where he came from.
Well, he's also then got the fact that the foundations are his family business. His mother worked for the Ford. He's from the Gamaliel, the Joyce, the Woods, and the Annenberg, above all. And his friend Bernadine Dorn gets
money. But, Tarpley, let me ask you this and then go back to Mike here. Look, I can't vote for either one of these guys with conscience. I mean, bomb, Iran, McCain stumbling around, Palin can't tie her shoelaces. I mean,
which is the stronger imperialist? In other words, which is the more formidable imperialist enemy? In other words, you're going to be fighting either.
No, I agree. They're going to be able to get a lot more through on Obama. 40+% of the country, it looks like, is actually going to vote for him, and that's a total with an 80+% turnout. And then they're not ever going to want to admit they were wrong. Now, Mike, if it turns out, you know. He's wrong. I mean, Mike has said he's going to come out against Obama. Mike?
I'm sorry. If once Obama is in the White House, he can't expect any favors from me because I'm going to hold him right to the fire and say, okay, you're in there. You got to do what you promised you were going to do and only what you promised you were going to do.
Oh, my God.
And,
he's already
broken every promise he's ever made now
before the election.
Now.
Hold on, Tarpley. Make the point.
I want to go back and talk about a couple of things. First of all, the vote fraud that is being reported, at least to my show and my website, and certainly on the media, is overwhelmingly going from the Democrats to the Republicans at this point.
How about Acorn?
Acorn, that has come and gone as an issue. Now, I want to get back to this other issue here about the whether Obama is a puppet or whether he'd be his own person like Kennedy was. If Obama wins with a significant landslide, he's going to look at that surplus of popular support and figure that he can take it out for a test drive, and that will give him the political strength to be able to go out and say, okay, let's renegotiate what the plan was going to be. And, you know,
do you have any evidence
going back to what
Kennedy
did?
Has he ever done any such thing ever once in his entire life, or is he not a completely controlled puppet, 1,000% owned and controlled by these financiers?
It's impossible to say at this point until he's in office.
So you have no evidence whatsoever.
Gamble,
he's been in office.
Gamble,
he's been in the Senate. Has
the
he ever done anything
take
to buck the establishment?
Every time we put a new president in office, we put him in on the basis of the promises that are given to us by the mainstream media, and then we
are
have
you crazy?
To see what they're actually going to do. Mr. Tarpley,
hey, Webster, let him finish for 1 minute, and then we'll go back to you for 2 minutes. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, I don't cut you off, and please accord me the same result. The bottom line is, I agree. When we elect a president, we're not really going to know what they're going to do until they are in office. Sometimes it's a very unfortunate shock, as it was in the case of George Bush. Sometimes it's a pleasant surprise, like it was with Kennedy. The bottom line is, when they walk through that door of the Oval Office and realize for the first time it's theirs, it's going to have an effect on them. And with McCain, the sense that I get is that he's perfectly happy with the world as it is right now. He voted along with George Bush, 95% of the time. With Barack Obama coming in from a less than traditional background in American politics, I think the possibility is definitely going to be there that he may just sit there and say, okay, we promised change. What can we change? And, Webster's turn.
Webster,
go ahead. This reproduces all of the pathetic illusions and delusions about the presidency that people have had. The U.S. presidency is a puppet position, and if you don't want to be a puppet, you've got to fight for it, and you've got to have some track record. Obama is controllable. The Rezko indictments, the Chicago, Illinois bipartisan combine, mean that he can be put in jail within 72 hours at any time. He's also not born in the United States. He's born in Kenya, naturalized into Indonesia.
He
could be thrown out of the country and put in jail at any time. Therefore, the control mechanisms are clear. I think you're blinded by hatred of Hillary Clinton, and you're so blinded by hatred of Bush and Cheney, which I can understand, that you're not able to see what Obama actually represents. It's like you have a desire to be duped. You're inventing stories that have absolutely no basis in evidence and fact. We do know what Obama will do. We know exactly what he'll do because we can study his backers, his controllers, the people who make policy for him. We can tell, what Richard Holbrooke will do at the State Department, what Mark Brzezinski will do at the National Security Council, and so on down the line. Then there is this question of fascism. The Obama supporters, the Kool-Aid drinkers, the lemmings, the cultists, and the personality freaks the closest thing to an actual fascist mass movement we've ever had in the United States. They come with left cover. People do not understand fascism. They think it's top-down. It's not top-down. It's grassroots and bottom-up. We had Schumer this morning saying, talk radio is pornography. Pornography is regulated. We're going to regulate talk radio. That means they're going to come after.
By the way, I saw that on the stair stepper.
They're going to come and try to come after people like us. The situation of civil liberties under Obama will be dramatically worse.
Okay, Webster, stop there. Stop. So we're going to come back after the break and try to, you know, be even here with the time. This is all very informative and thought provoking. Mike, the fairness doctrine. I mean, it's on record. They've got a whole nest of top Democrats saying they're coming after talk radio.
I can imagine. Well, see, the issue is the fairness doctrine has not been in force for quite a long time. I mean, it was, I'm trying to remember when that was actually rescinded. Yeah, rescinded. I think we need to get the fairness doctrine back in. I mean, that's the reason, why Rush Limbaugh and Michael Savage dominate the airwaves.
Mike, it's all selectively enforced. They don't allow anybody to have a real, editorial program. It's all just got to be milquetoast reporting what AP says. You understand this is targeted at us, bro.
Well, I'm not feeling that. I mean, I think the fairness doctrine, if it went back in, would open up opportunities for the rest of us.
All
to
right,
get
stay
our
there, stay talking. There. We got a break. Stay with us. Gonna steal me a silver stallion, and I'm gonna ride. I'm gonna find me a reckless woman.
I'm gonna chase the sky forever
with the woman and the stallion and the wind.
The woman and the stallion and the wind.
And the sun is gonna burn into a cinder.
And the sun is gonna burn into a cinder.
Before we ever pass this way again.
Before we ever pass this way
again. I was out on Willie Nelson's deck last week, or a week and a half ago, on a mountaintop overlooking Central Texas.
And we're gonna ride.
And I looked at him and I said that line to him.
Ride.
And he had these seashells in the
ride
walls of his log cabin. The seashells dug up from the limestone.
And we're gonna ride.
And I said, seashells from right here. And he said, yeah. And I said, from 15 million years ago, when this mountain you live on was a coral reef in a shallow sea. And that was quite a moment, talking about the sun will burn into a cinder. And maybe I should tell more of that story some other time, because we don't have a lot of time with both our guests. Okay, we just ended up, I believe, at the end of the last segment with Tarpley talking. When we're going to keep Tarpley a little bit, Mike has to leave. So don't accuse me, folks, of cutting him short. He has to leave here. I'm going to keep Tarpley about 10, 15 minutes in the next hour than Max Kaiser. Mike, closing two-minute comment here before we go back to Tarpley.
Well, I just want to go back and remind everybody that there's been a lot of swift voting, a lot of absolute misstatements made in this campaign, and the one that I can personally deal with is this idea that Barack Obama was not born in Hawaii. Now, about a week ago, week and a half ago, WorldNet Daily ran a story by Jerome Corsi that said the governor of Hawaii had sealed Obama's birth certificate to prevent anybody from looking at it. Now, I live here in Hawaii. I know Governor Linda Lingle, who, by the way, is a Republican, not a Democrat, not likely to be covering anything up. And she basically, her office issued a statement. The Jerome Corsi article was completely fraudulent. She did not seal Barack Obama's birth certificate. All birth certificates are confidential because of the problem of identity theft, but she set it up so that any media that want to contact a state official, and I forget which one she designated, will confirm the birth certificate for them in terms of the content in there. We've found the birth announcement in both Honolulu newspaper archives. We've located a witness who saw the family there at the hospital at the correct time. This is one of the issues that we know has been an absolute complete fraud. I mean, does it really make sense that the Democratic National Committee would let Barack Obama get into the presidential contest at all without, you know, checking the box?
Well, they could use it as leverage, but briefly, Tarpley, you say it's true he was born in Kenya. To me, it's a bit nebulous. They do have his grandmother saying he was born there.
Where is the birth certificate? If I am Obama, I am asking to get my hands on the thermonuclear button. And we've had Jimmy Hu in 1976 was a catastrophe, and now we've got Barkey Hu, and we don't even know where he comes from. If Obama had any regard, a scintilla of respect for the American people, he would say, American people, here is the full detailed vault copy. In other words, the answer to all of this is, where's his birth certificate? He doesn't
publish it.
He doesn't have it. He's
a
liar.
Let's end this hour with Mike.
Let's end this and we'll come back with Webster Tarpley. You got the last minute.
It's been on the web for weeks. The people who are trying to
get a live birth.
They just keep saying it's a fake. And it's a return to the Napoleonic Code. They keep saying the birth certificate he's provided is a fake. He has to prove that he didn't fake it. That's the Napoleonic Code.
If you want to be president, you want to get your hands
Webster,
on the
Webster, you're going to have time in a minute. Finish
up. Everything about you.
Mike, finish up.
Okay. Basically, you know, Barack Obama has provided his birth certificate. This is a non-issue by a campaign that doesn't want to talk about the wars, doesn't want to talk about the economy. And I think what has really turned off most voters in the United States, it's not that they're voting for Obama. They're just sick of politics as usual. They're sick of Swift voting. They're sick of Karl Rove-style campaigning. And it's turned them off.
It's certainly a rejection of the neocons and the stage terror and the rest of it.
Yes.
We'll just see what happens with this new bunch, and we'll be there together. Mike Rivera, WhatReallyHappened.com. Thanks for coming on with us. My website's InfoWars.com. Back in 1 minute.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Max Kaiser joining us from Paris, coming up in about 15 minutes. Webster Tarpley's our guest. Webster, I like Mike, and I've tried to build him up, got him a show here on Genesis. I invited you over here a long time ago. But the point is that it scares me that he's giving Barack Obama so much of a benefit of the doubt when clearly they're saying they're going to stage some big event for him. He's going to do things that are unpopular with the Democrats. He's talking about cutting teacher pay. My point is he isn't, you know, the mainline liberal. He claims he is. He's saying bigger corporate bailouts. I mean, McCain was for actually bailing out Ford and GM. He is against it, just like Bush is, Barack Obama is. He is for none of the money going to the American people. He has four times the Goldman Sachs money, three times the Wall Street. And, you know, when I bring that up to Mike, I've heard him on his own show saying that McCain's gotten more money, and today he had to admit that wasn't the case. I mean, this is an example of people hating George Bush for 8 years and then not understanding that at a primitive level, they are just being manipulated here. And like you said, Obama is a complete puppet.
I think it's partly being blinded by hatred. Hatred of Bush, Cheney, and the neocons. And again, this is all understandable, but it's never good to be blinded by hatred. Christianity actually has a good point on these things. The other thing would be hatred of Hillary Clinton, which also he seems to think we're back in the primaries and not in the general
election.
Well,
I tend to agree with him that she was the anointed one. She's the one Limbaugh tried to get elected. I mean, she's the one Rupert Murdoch gave money to. They did want to have Hillary in there.
Yeah, but look at the mainline, trilateral, Bilderberger, Rand Corporation, Rockefeller, Soros. That was Obama the entire time. Naturally, they have to bet on several horses because there is this problem of getting through the primaries and so forth.
But what does scare me is I'm getting threats and things and people saying I'm a racist because I don't like Obama, and that has nothing to do with it. I post the video of his youth brigades. And people call up saying, what's wrong with youth brigades? And then you heard Mike, what's wrong with the fairness doctrine where you can't have any political editorial comments on any radio? I mean,
I found that astounding. Look, there are two things working. The arguments about the Obama birth certificate. Again, the only thing I want to see is the full detailed vault copy of Obama's birth certificate. Until I see that, he is an illegal alien. And Phil Berg is still waiting for his response. From Justice
well, Webster, I disagree with you that's the biggest issue. For me, it's the carbon tax, the eugenics.
No, there are many issues. We would go through, you know, we'd need several hours to name all the issues, and we can do them in priority order. Here's the question. It's the Annenberg fact check that is out there arguing that Obama has put this issue to rest. Now, Annenberg...
He worked for him.
This is a foundation, and that is what Bill Ayers worked for. The main power inside the Annenberg is the terrorist bomber Bill Ayers. And again, these weathermen don't go away so easily for me. I saw them destroy SDS. I saw them destroy the student movement. I saw them destroy the peace movement. Other foundation provocateurs destroyed the Martin Luther King movement after King had been assassinated. These are wreckers. These are the grave diggers of any popular movement. And if you put somebody like Obama into a position of leadership, he will destroy any potential. He's already destroyed the impeachment movement and the peace movement. Obama has already accomplished that. So I want to say, Alex, I don't get money from any foundation. I think it might be useful for people to make a formal declaration. Are you foundation funded? Because a lot of our left liberal friends, right, a lot of the people who write about fascism, right, the various Naomi Wolfs and Naomi Kleins of the world, these are people who I believe are funded by foundations. Certainly quite a number of them are. The other question is the emotional need that is satisfied by being part of what I regard as a fascist mass movement. In other words, it makes you feel good to be a part of a big social movement, a fused group, if you like.
One more segment with Webster Tarpley, then Max Kaiser from Paris, France. This is the GCN Radio Network. Stay with us. Transmission continues.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
All right, we got Webster Tarpley, another 5 minutes or so. I'm going to play a clip from Max Kaiser on international television. He'll join us for an hour. We're going to have Beth Harris pop in briefly, and then, of course, we're going to have pop in briefly. And I said I'd take phone calls. We'll definitely take your calls for Max Kaiser, I promise. Just got so many guests, so much analysis. But I will take your phone calls at 1-800-259-9231. But I hope it's on the economy or the wars or the election. And, you know, not on chupacabras or anything. Webster, I agree with you. I see the whole establishment behind Barack Obama. I see him announcing total carbon taxes, bankrupting our energy systems. Those are his words. He represents the Club of Rome, the CFR, the Trilateral Commission. He's surrounded by insiders. He is slick. That, you know, they use Bush as kind of their bad guy, their front guy. Use the neocons as their birdcage liner. Now they're putting a new birdcage liner. They're getting all the liberals ready for huge, quote, disappointments. He's saying massive increases in defense budget. So they're going to have the right wing supporting him and all the warmongering, and the mainline limousine left, the poverty pimps, supporting him. And well, I mean, let's play this clip. This is the audio, not just it in the Chicago Tribune, but the audio. First time they ever endorsed a Democrat, by the way. See, they're establishment. They're Wall Street. They're the mercantile. They endorsed him. All the big boys. So let's go ahead and play this clip of the youth brigades. And you read the fine print of this, you can read more into it. This is literally domestic spies in uniform spying on you. Here it is.
We cannot continue to rely only on our military in order to achieve the national security objectives that we've set. We've got to have a civilian national security force that's just as powerful, just as strong, just as well-funded.
Now let's stop right there. $1,055,000,000 defense budget this year. It's actually bigger than that, but that's the supplemental and the main package. $1,055,000,000. Now, he said just as big, just as strong, domestic. Well, that's what they've been setting up since continuity of government in 1984, even before that, and then the youth brigades as part of Secure Corps, part of AmeriCorps, and Neil McCain proposed, you know, the similar things. The point is that, folks, you're going to get change. It's going to be hellish. And you it wasn't Webster Tarpley who said this. It wasn't Phil Berg. It wasn't Alex Jones. I've tried to stay out of this until I just couldn't ignore the facts anymore. It's amazing. And don't think we're trying to get him to win today. I know Tarpley hopes so. Like, it doesn't matter. The point is, maybe we need total tyranny. Maybe this is the medicine all you idiot liberals need, who are going to suddenly love wiretaps and police state and torture. All the things he's going to continue in more wars, not less. They're just going to depoliticize it and not make it left-right anymore, and the war will just be forgotten about. That's what they've said they're going to do. But this is true fascism that I see materializing, as Webster saw before I did. And it's coming in the form of a black man. He isn't going to run a single thing. He's going to be the titular head, the figurehead. Webster, I can rant and rave about this all day. The own people on my own Infowars.com in the stories we post about him calling for this giant, and if you read more, it's a youth brigade. They're on there saying, so what? What's wrong with that? What's wrong with the fairness doctrine? What's wrong with having spies everywhere? I mean, my God! Well, I mean, you know, people are so sold out to hating Bush, just like they were sold out to hating Clinton. They supported Bush. Now it's the same psychology, but worse, Tarpley.
Paid bloggers from Bangalore, India, and the Gaza Strip, they're third world sweatshop bloggers that Obama has hired to send in. Now, obviously, one of the things that fascism does is it says that the one-party state is going to control everything. The political party, the trade union, the women's group, the sports club, the bowling league, all of this has to be brought under the National Fascist Party. And then you have a youth organization. Mussolini had one called Balilla. Of course, the Squadristi, right, was how he got into power. Hitler had the Sturmabteilungen. He had this other organization, Hayot, Hitlerjugend.
We're going to see if Naomi Wolf and others suddenly don't like the police state when Obama gets in. Because they're all saying martial law under Bush. No. Martial law through the continuum of the military-industrial complex system.
I would say it's fascism through a gutter movement of hooligans, thugs, fervently idealistic students, and hysterical, crazed left liberals. And the way out of it is defeat Obama today, defeat anybody who voted for that bailout, come out of this with divided government. You have two gangs. One is more powerful and more dangerous than the other. The only hope is to play one gang against the other, institutionalize that for 4 years, and try to get a breathing space to work out an actual programmatic alternative, which, in my view, is going to have to be New Deal measures to crush Wall Street and bring on an economic
recovery. Webster, isn't going to happen. Their messiah, they're calling him president of the world in Newsweek, the messiah, the leader, Jesus. They're calling him Moses.
Think what a wonderful thing it'll be if he's defeated. People, that will be regarded as a victory for the American people.
Well, I'll tell you why I know he's going to win and why I know he's the establishment man. Fox News for 2 days, when I watch him on the treadmill and the stair stepper in the garage, keep saying, well, I guess Palin's going to be back home now. She's going to be happy. Well, you know, he's going to lose. And they have Rove coming out saying he's going to lose, McCain. They have all these other strategists, the focus group people who have been caught staging him, saying no way McCain can win. And then I see the neocons even supporting Obama.
Of course, they're a bunch of unemployed adventurers, and they're trying to attach themselves to Obama for jobs and careers.
But how can the left not see that?
Because of what I said before, the joining a fascist mass movement fulfills immediate emotional needs which these individuals have. They feel that they're alienated. They feel that they're isolated. And they feel that by becoming a part of the mystical body of the nation and partaking of the mystical authority of this charismatic leader, that they can somehow become whole.
And that's what gives
the
government...
Michelle Obama in the springtime was, we have broken souls, and it is the Messiah Obama who can touch our broken souls and make us whole again. In other words, we can overcome alienation. Now, this is right out of Mein Kampf. There's an entire...
Basically,
a chapter in Mein Kampf that talks precisely about this. So nothing new under the sun. It's just that
that's what Hitler did. Is he energized the grassroots? But Webster, you're absolutely right. I mean, even mainline news is implying he's world leader now, and he's looting everything, stealing everything. But because he's the anti-Bush, it's okay when he's really lockstep with all of it.
Yeah, look. The idea that Bush is the worst that the world holds is a very, very superficial point of view. People should let their imaginations run wild a little bit and think about how things could get 10 times worse than Bush, 100 times worse than Bush. One is, under Obama Brzezinski, we go to confrontation with Russia, and you get a Topol M ICBM down your stack, which so far under Bush you have not had, and forced labor and hyperinflation and kinds of economic sacrifice with this cap-and-trade idiocy, this global warming hoax, things that Bush and the neocons never dreamed of. Bush said, go to the shopping mall and buy things and support your country that way. The Obamazoids say that was obscene. That was a scandal. They want austerity, sacrifice. They want to cut the standard of living in half. Remember, you can't set your thermostat where you want it. You can't have the car you want.
They put the police state apparatus in under Bush. Now they're bringing in the savior. And I feel so sorry for everybody because, folks, it's going to get bad. I really feel sad for black folks that are trying to have some pride in this, and I don't blame them, but they have no idea. This is a eugenicist. This is a evil, very, very, very wicked system. Webster, I want to get you back up tomorrow for about 30 minutes in the aftermath of all this. When is it good for you tomorrow?
You tell me. Anytime, like the same time as today, if you like.
Yeah, let's just have you on at noon for 30 minutes tomorrow. And the anointed one's going to be put in one way or the other with the voting machines, and then that will cement to the left that the voting machines are supposedly legitimate. It's just on every front. This is it. This is New World Order trickery 101. Webster Tarpley, thanks for talking to us.
I wouldn't count the American people out just yet, but remember, Obama the Postmodern Coup and Barack H. Obama the Unauthorized Biography at Amazon.com as well as at your store.
I'll see you at the North Pole, Tarpley, when we're up there in a FEMA camp.
North Pole, Alaska. I've actually been there.
Take care, pal. Oh, man. Unbelievable. I went through this 8 years ago with the Bush thing, all these Republicans. We thought you were good. We hate you now. Now the liberals, we thought you were a liberal. What's wrong? Oh, come on, folks. I mean, what? Is there not anything you won't buy? Let's go ahead and play Max Keiser, part of it, on international television. We'll come back to him after the break. Here it is.
Well, joining me now on the phone is Max Keiser, the journalist and broadcaster, live from Paris in France. Max, Goldman and Morgan now subject to regulation. Isn't this what critics of their highly geared dealing have been demanding for years?
I'm not so sure, Ashton. I think this is a great way for them now to hide any close examination of their books. I think this is actually in the cards from the beginning because, as you know, Morgan and J.P. Morgan and Goldman Sachs have been involved in a tremendous amount of, let's call it euphemistically, money laundering over the years. And now by becoming a commercial bank, I believe that this is going to insulate themselves from any real close examination because they're going to be behind the firewall, behind Hank Paulson's firewall. You know, Hank Paulson has effectively hijacked the U.S. financial system. He's no different than the 9/11 hijackers, as far as I'm concerned. He's a financial terrorist, and he's taken the U.S. banking system to the edge of the abyss, all for the benefit of the shareholders and his cronies at Goldman and J.P. Morgan, the U.S. taxpayer, the U.S. citizen, unfortunately, is going to get the short end of the stick.
But doesn't the new regulatory provision, because they will now be holding companies, mean that we can expect loads of SEC, U.S. Treasury officials all flying around the world to Morgan Stanley and Goldman Sachs' offices, checking all the records, interviewing the staff, checking on probity?
Yes, but at the same time, as this coup d'etat has taken place and given Hank Paulson dictatorial powers to determine what is fact, the information that should be disclosed or not disclosed, combine that with Bush's dictatorial powers to declare a state of emergency at the drop of a hat, I don't think we're going to see any of this information is going to see the light of the light of day. It's just like, you remember Building 7 on 9/11 is where they had all those Enron records, and those Twin Towers collapsing was kind of a cover to keep those records from being examined. You know, these guys will stop at nothing to keep their dirty laundry a secret.
So even all the auditing companies.
All right, we'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, with Max Keiser himself. Max Keiser is the inventor of the virtual specialist technology, prediction markets, Hollywood Stock Exchange, and a lot more. He's a TV presenter, radio host, entrepreneur, broadcaster, and journalist. Some of the biggest networks in the world. He's a presenter for Al Jazeera English and a blogger with Huffington Post. He's also the host of a weekly radio show, The Truth About Markets. And he's been listening for the last hour while we've been attacking Lord Obama. And I was talking to him in the break. I said, let me guess what your whole view on this is. It doesn't matter. It's the big international banks running it all, and presidents are basically puppets. But we'll get his specific take on that right now. Max Keiser, thanks for coming on with us.
Alex Jones, nice to be here.
You bet. We're going to be talking for the next hour, and we're opening the phones up in 20 minutes, I promise. But Max, your whole take on this, I mean, you're against the bailout, the banker takeover. Lord Obama's for it.
Yeah, Alex, I mean, you know, before we get into the Obama thing, you know, let's look at the economy for a second. You know, since I was on your show last time, there's been some news events. You know, the thing about it in the U.S. is you have to understand that it's a different kind of a gulag than a gulag in are used to. You know, when people think of gulag, they think Chinese gulag, they think forced labor. But the American gulag is forced consumption. 70% of the economy is consumption. It's a forced consumption. It runs on people overindulging, and it runs on cheap money. Now, this whole banking crisis that started a year and a half ago was the result of that cheap money spigot being cut off for a number of reasons. And we've had a period now of this so-called deflation, which is really just a hoax, if you will, a deflation hoax. And just this past few days, Alex, I don't know if you've seen this or not, but the inflation spigot is being turned on once again to fuel the consumption gulag in America. We've got something like $500 billion in new U.S. Treasury notes that have to be sold immediately to fund the deficits. So the hyperinflation that, you know, you were talking about 18 months ago and Peter Schiff was talking about and Jim Rogers is talking about, you know, there was a break, there was a pause during this deflationary period when we saw oil collapse from 147 down to the $60 range. But now that's all going to reverse, and we're going to go back to this hyperinflationary scenario, which is horrible for the U.S. dollar. It's horrible for the American consumer unless they sign up to this casino gulag consumption state, as I like to think of it or refer to it as. So all those bets are back on the table. So going forward, just so your listeners keep that in mind, the idea of buying gold and silver to protect yourself, that's still very much in play. And don't get fooled by this big deflation that we've seen in the last couple of months. And the reason for it has to do with the big geopolitical workings out there. You know, Russia invaded Georgia. Russia was getting too big for its boots. And they decided that, you know what, Exxon might be making a lot of money, but we don't want Russia making much money or Venezuela making a lot of money. So they took these markets down. They took these markets down in anticipation of trying to help the Republicans. Let's face it, the Republicans are supported in part by big oil. But now that the inflation, but now that the election looks like it's finished, basically, today you saw oil spike $7 in a single day. That's an historic spike because they can't hold they can't keep the genie in the bottle anymore. The hyperinflation story is very much back in play. You haven't talked about it recently, Alex, because you had a fake rally in the dollar. But I think that fake rally in the dollar is coming to a close.
Yeah, that was other currencies falling. And yeah, also, not just manipulation, you had a lot of speculators dumping their stocks, dumping the things, liquidating so that they could cover their margins. That's another reason we saw some of the bubbles burst. But you're right, they've signaled only a total devaluation of the dollar. So how fast do you see the hyperinflation setting in?
Well, it's going to happen with a big bang because they are, if you look at the money supply numbers, M3, M2, M1, or MZM, which is money at zero maturity, these numbers in the last 2 weeks and 3 weeks have absolutely historically skyrocketed. So it doesn't take long for that to filter its way into the general economy. And, you know, the story that you've carried on your show with guys like Peter Schiff and others, and that's that primary story of the hyperinflation that was interrupted by, as you point out, the currencies were dumped. And there was a spat of what's being called deflation, but that's ridiculous. All that's going to happen is that all the bankers that got bailed out with your taxpayer money in America, they've got your money. Now they're going to buy gold, so you're going to be left without any gold because you were challenged. You maybe had weak hands. Maybe you sold some of your gold, and now who's going to be buying that gold at the cheaper price?
Well, exactly. We have gold dropping while people can't buy it hardly anywhere. Talk about free market. This thing's totally rigged where people are grabbing it and snatching it up worldwide. You can't find it, but its price is plunging. Max Keiser, let's talk about that with you when we get back. He's also a former Wall Street broker. I mean, this guy has just been involved in everything, and we're really honored to have him with us. And your phone call. Stay with me. Another 50 minutes or so, your phone calls. Francis, Scott, Jake, Stephanie, Josh, many others are coming up. Here's Max Keiser on international television talking about 9/11 and the financial dictatorship.
Yes, but at the same time, as this coup d'etat has taken place and given Hank Paulson dictatorial powers to determine what is fact, the information that should be disclosed or not disclosed, combine that with Bush's dictatorial powers to declare a state of emergency at the drop of a hat, I don't think we're going to see any of this information is going to see the light of the day. Light of day. It's just like, you remember Building 7 on 9/11 is where they had all those Enron records. And those twin towers collapsing was kind of a cover to keep those records from being examined. You know, these guys will stop at nothing to keep their dirty laundry a secret.
So all the auditing companies that now these banks will have have to be scrutinized by under federal law.
What auditing companies? The ones that have been discredited for the last 10 years and gone out of business, like Arthur Anderson, who's auditing. Enron, for example, the auditing companies, the rating agencies, the Treasury Department, the Federal Reserve Bank. This is a criminal syndicate. This should be investigated under RICO. These guys are wholesale thieving of trillions of dollars.
All right, that's Max Keiser. Max, let's get into what's really happening with the economy and Wall Street. And the reason I bring up Obama is because he's certainly in their hip pocket. So is John McCain. Do you see any changes in policies?
Yeah, Alex, I'm gonna have to ask you again. I mean, if we can just pick up on this thread for a second on the gold and silver market. Just as we went to break, you were talking about how gold, the physical gold price is double what the paper gold price is. And the paper price has been manipulated down by these so-called deflationistas. And you can't get gold and silver for anything less than 50, 60, and sometimes 100% premium. Now, this is what I hear is going to happen in December. My understanding, Alex, is that in December, the COMEX in New York is going to be busted. The COMEX in New York is short gold and silver beyond what they can deliver. Come December, there's going to be a raid on the COMEX from some very large international players. And as you know, we do a lot of international press, you know, all over the world. I'm hearing this from a lot of people around the world. They're going to do a raid on the COMEX and bust the COMEX and demand delivery of silver that they do not have at the COMEX. They've sold short bullion that they do not have. When that story gets out, gold will double in a day. Gold will double in a day. If you don't have the gold now, it'll be too late because it'll be doubled in a day. And I'm hearing this in December. There's going to be a massive, and I'm hearing it might come from Russia, because Russia is not happy with how this Bush administration has manipulated the price of oil down to the $60 level to help their buddy McCain, and they're hurting. Now they're saying, okay, what the hell with you? We're going to bust open the COMEX in December because we know they're short silver and gold. They can't deliver it. They've sold short more than they could possibly deliver it, and they're going to shut that market down, and that's going to be a massive dislocation of these markets. So again, I urge people, position yourself ahead of that. The dollar is absolute toast. On that clip that you just played, you know, that whole building number 7, you know, the COMEX, building number 7, all that stuff down on Wall Street is completely corrupt to the bone, to the absolute core. And you know what's ironic about the whole thing, about the 9/11 event, is that I was talking to brokers 2 weeks before the event, and they had heard the rumor of exploding airplanes, and they were buying puts on airline companies. So you've got brokers who are actually working in the Twin Towers who are speculating on exploding airlines. I mean, that's what these bankers are all about.
Max Keiser,
they'll speculate on their own demise.
Max Keiser, let me stop you right there. I mean, you're a prominent guy. You know, you have an international television show, international radio show, very popular website. You don't make stuff up. I've been following you for a long time. I know that you've always been very, very accurate in what you say. Specifically, you were on Wall Street, you were working where, as much detail as you can, because we have a lot of other mainstream reports where people on Wall Street were warned the towers were going to be blown up, there was going to be a disaster, there was a FEMA drill there the night before. You're just another one of these witnesses. Tell us specifically.
The rumors are out there 2 weeks in advance, and you can see it in the trading pattern on the airline's put.
No, I understand the record put options against American and United. You specifically, go back to where you were, what these people said to you.
Well, if you look at those options, they were skyrocketing in the price volume. And there was a rumor on the street that these options were trading as if an airplane had already blown up. So there was a rumor. Well, how can that be? There's no airplanes that have blown up. Now, you do a little research, and you find out that a lot of these contracts are going through the offices of Alex Brown down in Maryland.
Yeah, Buzzy Krongard.
Who was that Alex Brown in Maryland? Oh, a guy named Buzzy Krongard.
Buzzy Krongard then moved over to CIA, worked with George Tenet. So now there's a pipeline with the CIA, Alex Brown, where all these puts were traded 2 weeks before the event. And I used to work at Alex Brown. I worked there in 1990. I know, I met these guys. I was working on Wall Street at the time.
Okay, but not
guys.
Just the record
That's how
puts.
I hear these rumors. I talk
Max
to brokers
Kaiser,
all day
Max
long.
Kaiser.
I hear rumors all the time.
Max Kaiser, not just the puts. Specifically, you're saying you were on Wall Street and you heard guys in offices going, yeah, something about exploding airplanes. Let's put puts, not just on airlines, specifically on American and United. What did you hear?
At the time, I was in Europe. I talked to brokers all day long. There was a rumor on the street that all the action, the put options, was getting people's attention. And looking at it afterward, you see that all this action went through Alex Brown. Alex Brown's a stone's throw from Washington. And if you look, type up Buzzy Krongard on Google, and, you know, the story starts to come into focus. There was information out there 2 weeks in advance about look at the puts. I mean, I'm a banker, a financial analyst. Look at the action in the puts themselves.
No. We know about all that.
The 9/11 report says, based on the puts, the volume in these puts, it suggests that there was insider trading. However, we are not going to pursue that in any great detail. Well, why not? It's a clear case of insider trading. When you see action, anytime there's a merger or insider trading, there's a huge spike in the volume of the puts or the options or the stock. And that's investigated immediately because that's a telltale sign of insider trading. If you look at the action on those options, it's a telltale sign clearly that information above and beyond random information.
No, I understand. It was record put options on American and United. We're very well versed. I put a film out 6 months after the attacks that covers that, Road to Tyranny, 9/11 Road to Tyranny. What I'm asking you is, as a financial analyst, as a financial consultant, as an expert, you yourself say you remember asking, hey, why are there record puts on United and American? And your colleague said something about blowing up airplanes.
That was the rumor. That was the talk. I mean, yeah, it makes sense because you think about it. It's because they acted like you saw after an explosion. That's where the volume and the price action was after an explosion. So the comment you heard was, well, why would it happen like this now? There's no explosion, you see? It was people were asking that question, why now? But then you talk to brokers, and the ridiculous and absurd thing is that you're talking to actual brokers on the street who were speculating on ultimately what became their own demise.
Amazing. Okay, let's get back to gold. I mean, they're admittedly manipulating and suppressing it. Why are they so afraid of gold?
Gold is the banker's worst enemy because gold represents real money, and it's a limited supply, and you can't run up huge multi-billion, trillion-dollar debts like you can with a fiat money currency if you have a gold standard. It's a check and balance that would prevent the bankers in the world from engaging in what we've just seen over the past 20, 30 years, this huge Ponzi scheme based on fiat money and debt. You know, everyone has seen the film Money is Debt. Everyone understands, I think, now that the Federal Reserve and the Treasury, they simply issue trillions of dollars worth of debt. It's not money in the sense that it has any value. And this creates wage slaves or the casino consumer gulag state in America where people are wedged in cheap money. And right now, the economy, after being going through a heart attack because of the credit seizure from 18 months ago, they have ramped up another half a trillion, trillion, 2 trillion, 3 trillion, $5 trillion worth of fresh credit, fresh debt, and it's going to restoke the consumers, and they're going to be back buying their iPods and back buying their, you know, cheap food at cheap prices, and they're going to get that consumer gulag casino state ramped up again. And this is going to take the value of the dollar down as it was going down up until 6 months ago. The dollar index was hitting post-World War II lows. It got down to 70 on the index. Now it had this rally, a bear market rally, into the 85, 86 range. It's topping out now. It's going to resume its downward trend, break through 70, and head a lot lower. And, you've had a guy on your show, Peter Schiff. He's an excellent analyst. He's an excellent writer. He's got a book on us.
And I would also point out that Peter Schiff has said something. Let's get into the Obama situation a little bit, if I might.
Go ahead.
If that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, okay, the Obama situation, Obama coming on as president of the United States, you know, even guys like Peter Schiff, who are fiscal conservatives, I think is a fair statement, he has suggested something, and I want to bring it up with you. I agree with Peter Schiff on this. You know, millions of Americans out there have been shafted by the bankers, and they're sitting on negative equity in their homes. Right now, there's legislation in America to convert non-recourse mortgages into recourse mortgages. So in other words, instead of being able to walk away from your negative equity home after having this predatory loan forced down your throat by unscrupulous bankers, you're not going to be able to walk away from that loan anymore because it's a non-recourse loan. It's going to be converted to a recourse loan, which means you're going to be on the hook for you're going to have your pay garnished, you're going to be in debtor's prison, you're going to have to face that mortgage debt head on. What Peter Schiff is saying, and I agree with him, is people should just walk away from that debt anyway and stage a massive civil disobedience.
Let me just stop you, Max Kaiser, because you're great at breaking down the basics. We have this international consortium of private banks, an intergroup. They terrorize the public, and they threaten Congress with martial law through the executive that if they don't pass it, they say, we've got to have the money this week. Now, a month later, they haven't given any of it out to any troubled mortgage securities. Instead, the banks are on record in the New York Times bragging, oh, we're keeping the money and giving each other bonuses, you know, tens of billions of bonuses at Goldman Sachs alone in each division in each country. I mean, just no transparency, corruption like we've never seen before. And then, as you said, they've changed the law so we can't declare bankruptcy. They're moving to try to say we can't get out of mortgages and we can't even walk away. I mean, this is unbelievable. I mean, how much do they plan on squeezing us? So give the listeners, from your expertise, the basic breakdown of what we're dealing with.
Well, you're dealing with the banking establishment has really gotten full of itself beyond anything I think anyone could have possibly imagined, even during the most excessive periods, even during the Mike Milken phase, even during, you know, the corporate raider phases, even during, you know, the greatest excesses of banking largesse, the J.P. Morgan phase, you know, going back a century. This is really the most unbelievable wealth confiscation by a small group of bankers on Wall Street that we've probably ever seen in the American history. And quite possibly, you know, look, I've looked through history in other countries, other periods. This ranks as one of the most unbelievably egregious wealth confiscation by a small group of bankers really in history.
And they're just getting started.
Well, it's very difficult for America. See, this is my point with Obama. And, okay, you know, the point is this. American people, no matter who is going to be president tomorrow morning, it's still incumbent upon the American people to take action for themselves. And I say, you know, they say Obama's going to be tested. Is it going to be a showdown with Iran? Is it going to be a showdown with this country? The showdown for Obama is a showdown with the American people. The American people still need to stand up. And as people have suggested, including Schiff, I think this is a great campaign. There should be mass civil disobedience, mass walking away from these mortgages, and stick it to the bankers. Say, look, we're not going to pay
these
bankers.
But see, that's why they're putting Obama in as a puppet, so that everybody thinks there's been change when the very same financial institutions that really run things are going to continue. So for Obama lovers, you need to realize he's a puppet, just so your precious Obama doesn't get the blame. I agree he's a puppet, and he's not going to deserve the blame that's coming. But Max, I agree that the financial crisis is the biggest thing we face, but what do you think Biden and Powell and all of them, Brown, Merkel, Barroso, what is the crisis with them naming the date, the 21st, the 22nd? Powell, it's on Meet the Press, it sounded like a financial crisis. With all the others, it sounds like a military crisis. You've got your ear to the ground in a lot of high places. What are you getting told?
I'm hearing about a currency devaluation. The U.S. dollar gets devalued.
Yeah, and
the U.S. dollar... The U.S. dollar gets devalued in one shot, just like you saw in other South American, Latin American countries.
And they've been holding that up for the election, which would show the establishment really was for McCain.
Well, you know, that's one narrative. You know, I just look at the numbers, and the numbers are that the U.S. dollar can no longer function as a world reserve currency. Our creditors in America are demanding payment in their own currency, Chinese yuan, Japanese yen. They don't want to play this game anymore.
Yeah, explain that to people. Explain that to the listeners, because you're international. You're in Paris right now, covering all this. The billions that the shareholders are getting and the billions that the CEOs are getting per company in the bailout money for themselves as bonuses, they're converting that to other currencies. They're buying real assets, aren't they?
Well, there's two questions. Yeah, number one, that's right. I think this pullback in gold and silver have given those people who amassed, who were taking the bailout money, and they've basically trashed the precious metal markets, and I think they're going to be the biggest buyers of precious metals right now with America's bailout money. So as they devalue the currency, and that could be the big news coming out in 2 weeks' time, is that, okay, the U.S. dollar gets devalued. That means that stuff like precious metals are going to be jumping in price. And guess who's now going to own all the precious metals? Because all the suckers who got scared by the deflation scare sold out. I own a ton of gold and silver. I myself was questioning my own belief in my own work because the sell-off was so bad. I mean, and I've been looking at it for 25 years. Think of all the people out there who are not, professional, who are thinking, God, this precious metal story is not going to work. I'm getting out. I'm going to go back into the dollar. I'm going to go back into some of these other things. And now they're going to get wiped. They're going to get their clocks cleaned as the dollar gets devalued and these metals go a lot higher. The other question you're talking about, I think you're asking about, is the role of the dollar as the world reserve currency. Is that another question?
Yeah, that's it.
All right, so since World War II, since Bretton Woods, and you hear leaders all over the world saying, we want a new Bretton Woods. What does that mean? That means a new world currency order backed by gold. But since World War II, the Bretton Woods has established a system where all the world's currencies are convertible into the dollar, and the dollar was convertible into gold. This went on until 1971, and then all the currencies became free-floating, and they all became fiat currencies. But still, all the world's commodities, like gold one, but oil for another, they're priced in dollars. So if you live in another country, you live in China, you live in Japan, you live in Venezuela, you live in any other country in the world.
Stay there, Max Kaiser, got a break. So when they announce the new world monetary system, which the UN and the IMF have announced, they will then announce it's no longer the dollar. That will be the signal, and then we will be completely enslaved and totally bankrupt. All right, look, I want to go to your calls on the election and what's happening on the economy. Max Kaiser can speak to all of it. Well-versed guy. I don't know when. But Max, they're going out to break. Do you think they're going to announce the 21st or 22nd? I guess they're already announcing it. They see a new world order run by the banks, off the dollar, the very banks that engineered it now. I guess it bought up the world with our currency, and they want to leave us holding the bag. I guess we'll have to pay for it in taxes and in inflation. And then I guess we'll just be left with Obama's youth brigade to make sure we pay up.
Yeah, it looks like the talk around the world and in Europe is, you keep hearing this phrase, a new Bretton Woods. That means a new monetary order incorporate the fact that the dollar is just too weak. They've got to recalibrate the global economy in such a way that the dollar is going to be the big loser. Because there's too many of them. You know, there are, the money supply is just too great. There's no production in America. There's no jobs in America.
Yeah, the bankers took our money, devalued it to buy up real goods and services for themselves, build their new world order, and now they're going to leave us holding the bag. Max Kaiser, how bad is it going to get?
Well, I mean, the U.S. how bad is it going to get for... I mean, think about it. The money in your pocket is going to be cut. The value is going to be cut in half. I mean, so you can do the math. Figure it out yourself. Whatever you have in savings.
Yeah, folks, you think it's bad now with... Notice GM's about to go under, they're saying, and the government says, no money for you. But all these foreign bankers, oh, here it is. It's all for you, baby.
Well, they're simply... The way that they're going to get out of this, the way that they're going to approach this, this new Bretton Woods agreement, It's going to effectively devalue the currency. If you look at the history of countries like Argentina, for example, is a brilliant example.
Exactly.
America's going to go through the same thing. You know, America's been telling the world, through the IMF and the World Bank and all these organizations, how to run their economies. Accept these conditions, you know, accept us managing your economy. And while they take all the resources and they destroy their economies, now it's going to, the chickens are coming home to roost. Now the world is telling America, we don't want your stinking U.S. Treasury government bonds anymore. We don't want your dollars anymore. But, you know, if you want to borrow money, you're going to have to borrow it in Chinese or Japanese or European currencies. We're not going to take any more of your dollars anymore.
Max Kaiser, now, the bottom line is it's going to get crazy. Go ahead.
Well, it's the U.S. lifestyle that has been developed over the post-World War II era is coming to a close because getting back to the world reserve currency, you know, and how it works is that the U.S., when the U.S. needs money, they sell these countries bonds, and when the interest is due on the bonds, they simply sell them more bonds. So it's like you got a checkbook, and anytime you want something, you write a check, but the deal is the person who you wrote the check to never cashes the check. And this has been going on for decades. Now the rest of the world is saying, wait a minute, we're not taking your bad money anymore. You can't bounce your check anymore. We've seen the Hollywood movies. We know what you're about now. We don't want their bad money.
But Max, let's go one layer higher. Stiglitz, all of them going a new world order. The international banks will set the world's prices, the currencies, the stock rules, the banking rules, the brokerage rules. They're the ones that engineered all this and used America as their engine and as their bad guy and as their muscle. And then they're all up there smiling like Cheshire cats posing as savers when they engineered it all.
Right. Well, that's why I'm saying to the people in America who listen to your show, you know, why not stage a revolt? You know, it worked in the 1776 period. Why shouldn't it happen again? You know, as Jefferson said, democracy has to be refreshed every 50 or 60 years, you know, no matter what it takes. And I'm saying everyone should be banded together and say, you know what? We're not going to pay our mortgages to the bankers. We're going on a strike. We're not paying these mortgages. To hell with you.
All right, stay there. Max Kaiser, we're going to be back in 1 minute and take phone calls immediately as we start the next hour. Bottom line, stuff's going to get rocky. Max Kaiser's been on with us for the last 35 minutes or so of airtime. He's been with us for another 20. We're now going directly to your phone calls. We are also now live in the fourth hour of the radio show at prisonplanet.tv. We're going to be taking your phone calls for the balance at the end of the show, getting a quick pop-in from Dean Barkley, running for Senate up in Minnesota. But we'll be taking your calls continually for the rest of this hour. We were just talking about what's going to happen in this country, what the private bankers have done to us, with Max Kaiser. And, of course, Max Kaiser is an international TV presenter on Al Jazeera, radio host, entrepreneur. He also, again, is the inventor of quite a few different market technologies, like the virtual specialist technology prediction markets. And he, of course, has been a stockbroker as well, top stockbroker. Let's go to your phone calls. These will be all over the map. Appreciate you holding. Francis in Colorado, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, Alex. This is Fran Schur from Denver. I'm one of the founders of Colorado 9/11 Visibility. I have more information on our 9/11 truth friend, Sean Fitzgerald, who's in a hospital in Thailand. I need to let you know because this is a matter of life or death for him.
Okay. Yeah. His dad called in an earlier hour.
Yeah. His dad called you. I've got more information about it, about what happened and how we can help him.
Okay. Go ahead.
First of all, he and his wife are working in Thailand, and he's been very outspoken about 9/11 truth. He found himself then being followed by Thai military, and last night he had an automobile accident, which was very questionable.
Yeah, we've been emailed the story, so how do we help him in the hospital? I mean,
okay,
what's happening to him?
Maesot Hospital, M-A-E-S-O-T Hospital. That's two words, Maesot. And he is now also, military police are coming in and observing him in the hospital. He's very scared for his life. How you can help him is to fax or call the Maesot Hospital And that's very easy to look up online. Or you can call me. I can give you my telephone number. And
okay, go ahead. I mean, I think people should call the U.S. Embassy, but go ahead.
Yeah, that's right.
Has anybody done that?
Call the U.S. State Department. That's also very easy to find online. But call me. Can I give my telephone
number? Sure, go ahead.
You all can, and Alex, your staff can call me, and I can help you with this, too. This baby.
Well, I mean, I don't even know if he's, I mean, he's in a car wreck at the hospital, but we'll see if something's happening. Go ahead.
Yeah, my number, so you can call me, Alex, your staff, or anyone else.
Okay.
303-778-7511. 303-778-7511.
Okay, I'm going to track this and watch this and see if there's an issue there. The guy's had, I've talked to his dad, and we've got emails from him. A car wreck, and I mean, Thailand's a total police state, so I wouldn't live there, but we'll try to follow this. The State Department needs to be called. Okay, let's talk to Scott in Arizona. Scott, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, Alex.
Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, I actually got a statement. With regards to McCain and Obama, if McCain, if the oil is, what your guest is saying is starting to shoot up, do you see it going back up? Because I remember the prediction of, I can't remember his name right now, saying the oil would go down to $50 a barrel.
Lindsey Williams said 3 months ago it would go down to 60, and it has.
Yeah. And it did. It did from $1.40 down to 60, and it will. You're seeing it, he's saying it will go back up again. And I'm, because McCain's probably not going to get it, but they also said McCain was their man. And I'm trying to figure it out. One side, McCain's got the oil company supporting him, and Obama's got the bankers, but, you know, he's got Henry Kissinger backing him, which is ran by Rockefeller. And Rockefeller runs Chase McCain.
They run both of them. You have a question for Max Kaiser.
Yeah, basically, do you see that going up? Back up to where it was at?
Yes, okay, let's get that question. We're going to skip this break, too, with Max Kaiser. Max?
Yeah, the see oil going up because the money supply is now starting to be jacked up. So oil, like we were saying before the break, is priced in dollars, just like all commodities in the world. And as the supply of dollars increases, oil price goes up as part of the inflation that comes with oil, with the oil price going up. Now, with the devaluation coming, which will make the value of the dollar even more precarious, you're going to see oil even take another leap up.
Well, a lot of analysts say 100, back up to 100 bucks a barrel by next summer. I'm going to skip this break for the internet audience with Max Kaiser. Thanks for the call. We'll be right back and take more calls. Okay, let's talk to Jake in New York. You're on the air with Max Kaiser. Go ahead, Jake.
Jake.
Yes?
Go ahead. You're on the air.
I'm on the air?
Yes, we're going to have to let you go in a moment.
My question for you about Barack Obama is his links to the Council on Foreign Relations and why that has not been brought to more light and why the police state continues to look like it looks like. Like in New York where I live, we're having mobilization units walking around, driving.
Yeah, any excuse to have riot police out, any excuse to sell us that we're slaves, any excuse to
videotaping us. They have vans with 8 video cameras on them driving into crowded areas.
Yeah, they're going to bankrupt America and take everything we've got, no matter who gets elected. These men are just puppets. And so this is the long, dark winter that America is going into. This is what we're getting because we were spoiled, rotten, and stupid and let tyranny grow. Max Kaiser.
Now, when I have a question, Max, is that everybody, I guess a lot of people that have been coming on the show have been talking about how great FDR was, and I wanted to know what your views on that were, being as that he abolished the gold standard and...
Yeah, some people, listen, I appreciate your call. We're going to go ahead and let him comment now. Yeah, a lot of people are saying we need a FDR-style bailout instead of just paying everything directly to the bankers. But either way, it devalues the currency in the end, doesn't it, Max?
Yeah, pretty much. The currency is going to suffer in the end. I mean, the FDR package, certainly putting money, bypassing the banking system, would have been probably a way to put it directly into the hands of people. As far as it relates to gold, because FDR... As the caller pointed out, suspended the sales of gold. We're going to see this type of thing where gold sales, this is why people need to really be aware of this whole gold situation, and if at all possible, own some gold outside of the U.S. That option is available with different services. If you do a little research, you can find services that allow you to buy gold and have it owned outside of the U.S. because as the dollar devaluation program comes in, the possibility of confiscating gold will once again
rear its ugly head. So you should have your gold and bullion outside of the U.S.
Well, people always say, why should I hold gold? They can just take it. That's better than having it just be money in a bank that they're devaluing or they can seize.
Look, I mean, having gold bullion, and it's a real issue. It's definitely a real issue. That's why there are services that allow you to own it outside of the U.S., and that really should be looked at. There are a couple of ways on the Internet. You know, I'm not going to give them a free advertisement, but there are a couple of services on the web.
Well, there's more than a couple. There's thousands. You can keep it in Luxembourg or wherever. Okay, we're going back to the full audience. Here we go.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
International broadcaster, financial expert Max Keiser. We're taking your phone calls. They're all over the map. That's fine. That's what I expected. 1-800-259-9231. Before the show ends, we'll give you the latest election numbers coming in from around the country. Obviously, looks very good for Barack Obama. There are police all over the country treating the entire public like enemies. In case there was some type of rioting over the election, there are lots of other things happening. There are reports of Black Panthers. This is up on Drudge and Fox, so it's questionable. Blocking white people from getting into polling places. But there is also such a worship of Barack Obama. Who knows? It may even be true. They've got video. So lots of insanity going on. As people fight over the two puppets. Max Keiser, I want to go back to the calls here in this final segment with you, but right now, your analysis, you know, your take on how they were able to have physical gold dry up where you could hardly buy it, or if you could, it was a 30, 40, 50, 100% markup. That's mainstream news. How did these international institutions create we know they can play and manipulate markets, but to have it where gold's dropping $200 an ounce, or $250 an ounce, now going back up, dropping, while you physically can't get it and demand's at all-time highs, how do they do that?
Well, it's the paper market, Alex. I mean, gold is trades on the COMEX as a futures contract. The people who buy and sell it are not taking physical delivery. And just like they can make the price of anything else on these paper markets go in any direction they want to, they can make the price of gold go down if they wouldn't want the price of gold. They sell gold contracts short. They sell contracts short. And when you sell something, the price goes down. And here's the incredible thing. They have sold more contracts short than the COMEX has any hope of ever delivering. And this December, from what I'm hearing, is that there's going to be a crash of the COMEX because people are going to demand their physical delivery of the gold and silver. They will not be able to fulfill that transaction. They will not be able to deliver. It'll be a failed delivery, and you're going to see huge dislocation. And the COMEX is being targeted by people, you know, by investors. There's actually individual investors in the United States who are staging a revolt against COMEX in the silver market. They're saying, we want physical delivery, and we're going down there. We want our gold. And it's also here in the international community because the COMEX is destroying the reserves for mining and mining companies all over the world, in Russia, in Canada. You know, and these mining companies are having to shut down because COMEX is driving the price down artificially. And now they're saying, what the hell with you? We're gonna bust COMEX. And the physical price is, the paper price is going to be destroyed, and you're going to see the true black market price is going to assert itself. Gold is trading in the black market at a lot higher prices. And that's going to be the market.
I know nobody can buy it at, you know, $750 or whatever to then be able to sell it to people what they claim spot is. I mean, it's just...
Absolutely not. I mean, I can't get gold in Paris. I can't get buy gold bullion in Paris for less than, you know, $1,100, $1,200 an ounce, you know, down there at the gold bullion deal. If I go in there off the street, if I'm buying in size, obviously I can negotiate a better deal. But the spot price... But you see today, though, Alex, as the news is coming out of Washington now that they're going to have to refinance $500 trillion worth of bad debts because of the bailout packages and because of all the money went to the bankers and didn't go into the system, they got to go back to the trough for another $500 trillion. Now, and with the rumor getting louder of a devaluation of the dollar, you see that gold and oil are saying, to hell with this, we're going higher because there's going to be a lot of inflation coming through the pipeline. Gold and oil are going higher to reflect this. So the primary story...
Yeah, go ahead.
The primary story of inflation is very much in place. People should not be fooled by it. You know, owning real assets is what is going to save you through this inflationary period. Don't believe the inflationary hype that's out there. You know, even
Wall Street Journal, Newsweek, Time, they're talking about, oh, there's a deflation scare. It's impossible to have.
Well, what we have happening is a depression and contraction in the real economy with a bunch of manipulation on top of it by governments and institutions to drive commodities down, knowing that it's an attempt to get control of hyperinflation so they can try to block it before the election. And clearly it's like a beach ball trying to hold it underneath the water. Let's talk to Stephanie in New York. You're on the air with Max Keiser and Alex Jones.
Oh, hello, Alex. Can you hear me?
Yes, I sure can.
Okay, I'm a first-time caller from New York, Staten Island.
Welcome.
And I was also a first-time registered Democrat.
Okay.
And my vote initially was for Obama, and I couldn't talk to you without voting. And that's my call to you, Alex. New York loves you over here.
Well, we love you, too. We love everybody. What's on your mind?
I want to know, what should I do? I don't know what to do. I know Obama is not the right choice.
Well, I mean,
and I'm not going to vote for McCain, obviously. I'm sorry.
Well,
I'm just so passionate.
Well, we're in the same boat. It's a moral decision. People are told to vote like a horse race. Who do they think is going to win the race, or, you know, bandwagon going for a football team once you think they're in the playoffs and going to win the championship or the Super Bowl. I would vote for the Constitution Party, or I would vote for the Ralph Nader.
I didn't even know that there was people running for president until yesterday, and I looked it up, and you Google it once, you couldn't get it once.
Well, and it's not that Nader. Well, it's not that Nader or Chuck Baldwin are going to win. The whole point is, so much attention is put on this, and people think they're going to get change with Obama. They're not, and they're not going to get change with John McCain. They're owned by the same people. So, you know, I know you're saying you want to ask me how you should vote, and I'm honored by that, Stephanie. But I have to morally tell you, I can't tell you how I think you should vote. All I can tell you is that Barack Obama is in the hip pocket of the very bankers looting us. Now, I know Max Keiser doesn't like to, you know, get into these political footballs because he knows the bankers are above both Obama and McCain, so it doesn't matter at the end of the day. But, I mean, do you have a comment, Max?
To the caller or, you know, the
well, who would you vote for?
Obama. My position on Obama is that I support Obama, you know, because, here's what I'm going to do, Alex. You know, when Bush came into office in 2000, I left the United States of America because I knew the guy was going to just be a horrible president to live in America. Here's what I'm thinking about. If Obama takes office, I may be moving back to America. I may be moving back to America because I want to test him. I want to test him with some of the civil disobedience ideas. I want to test him to see what this guy can really do for us. And if he doesn't pass the test, then it's time for us to take back our country in the most serious way.
So you're saying give him a shot, see if he gets the troops out of Iraq, see what he does, see if he ends some of the illegal wiretapping, and then if he doesn't, morally, then you're going to go after him politically.
Absolutely. That's my constitutional responsibility. It says in the Constitution quite clearly that if, in fact, a tyrant is in control, and we've had a tyrant already, but if it gets to the point where it's going absolutely bonkers, even more tyrannical,
Max,
then what are we?
Max,
what choice do we have?
Max, 7-8 months ago when he was saying he'd take all the troops out in the wiretapping, I went, hey, Jeremiah Wright's right about the AIDS virus. Maybe Obama's is a rogue and against the system, and, you know, ooh, Hillary's trying to cheat him in New Hampshire. Maybe he's good. But then since then, he's gone back on everything. So, you know, it's up to you, Stephanie, to make up your own mind, okay? She's still there?
Yeah, hello.
Yes, go ahead.
Yes, I don't want to put my vote to a person that I know is a puppet. So I would feel guilty. Even though I'm a minority in New York City and I'm in the urban setting, I would feel so guilty knowing what I listen to you. And I really respect you and I honor what you say. And just for me hearing your word, your spoken word, it was even a mission to me to even hear your wisdom words.
No.
So I'm not going to put my vote on Obama or McCain.
Good.
That's why I want an independent or another person that I will put
That's right.
my vote to.
And the point is, you've done the moral thing. Thank you. And if more people did what Stephanie's doing and voted who they really thought was the best person with the best ideas, this non-status, non-centralization, you know, control, then we would have people like Ron Paul. We would have people, you know, like Ralph Nader or Cynthia McKinney. And, yeah, I mean, even vote for Cynthia McKinney, you know, over them. But thank you so much. We're going to take more calls later, but I'm going to let Max Kaiser have the final comments. Max, plug your website for folks out there.
MaxKaiser.com, K-E-I-S-E-R, MaxKaiser.com. I'll just make a comment that my friend Stephen Baldwin, who I used to pal around with in Los Angeles, he's a brother of Alec Baldwin, of course.
He's now a brainwashed minion of George Bush.
Yeah, he said that if Obama wins, he's going to move to Canada. So we may be passing each other on the airplane. he'll be leaving with his tail between his legs, and I'll be coming back to basically fight for what I believe everyone should be fighting for, which is an equitable and representation of who we are as a people.
Well, Stephen Baldwin is a classic case of a useful idiot. He really means well. He's a good Christian person. He goes around brainwashing people to join the military, brainwashing kids to love Bush when Bush is being visited nightly by gay porn stars. And I'm not even attacking him for that. The point is, he's a total hypocrite. And, I mean, you couldn't get more corrupt than George W. Bush. I just feel sorry for Stephen Baldwin. I mean, what a sucker.
Hey, I've known him for a long time. He's obviously got very strong beliefs, and he puts his mouth, he acts on his beliefs, so I can't fault him for at least, you know, acting on his beliefs. I'm just saying that if I act on my beliefs in this situation, you know, I feel that, why not throw, this is an opportune time, you know, this could be a moment in history could be very exciting.
Yeah, those carbon taxes are going to save us, Max. So how'd you meet Stephen Baldwin?
Well, you know, he was working with me in Los Angeles on the Hollywood Stock Exchange, and we were partners on that project for a couple of years, and I know him actually from Long Island. I met him when he was 12 years old. I know his brother very well.
Yeah. Man, you're in a lot of
his
business.
His brother is producing and is one of the producers on my new TV show for BBC World.
Oh, really? Alec is?
I got a new TV show coming out on BBC World called The Oracle, which is about prediction markets. Alec is one of the producers. Well, I want to have you on the show.
I want to come on. Hold on one second. We're going to skip this break on the internet so we can finish up with this story. Yeah, Max, I haven't really built you up properly for the audience out there, that you're a pretty influential guy, and that's what's so scary about you talking about devaluing the dollar, devaluing the currency, going to a Bretton Woods system. So in the few minutes we've got left with you, and this is just for the internet audience, but it's millions, tell folks more about the TV show, more about your website and what you do, how folks tune into your radio show, and then a few minutes about what that new currency is going to look like, and then we'll let you go.
Okay.
We're on air right now. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Right. Well, you've got this new show working on BBC World. It's going to be hopefully starting up in January. And as I mentioned, Alec is a producer on the show. It's called The Oracle. And I'm taking all these prediction markets that are out there now that have come after the Hollywood Stock Exchange. And as you point out in the introduction, I invented this whole idea of prediction markets and invented the technology of it. So we're going to have a panel of experts and guests kind of figure out what the future is going to be. So an issue like this Bretton Woods Accord, we'll have a couple of experts, we'll have a couple of non-experts to try and pick it apart, and we'll try to figure out, and we'll look at the markets, because the markets are generally anticipate or discount future events more accurately than any news pundit. If you notice, the prediction markets on sites like Intrade.com have predicted an Obama victory now for months. They predicted all of the senatorial and House of Representative victories much more accurately than any of the polling or the pundits. So this is a show that's based on that concept and bringing those prediction markets to a global audience on BBC World. And as I mentioned before the break, it would be great to have you on the show, of course, because your insights into how these various world pieces work together. On the Bretton Woods issue, this is something that if you just look at it from any kind of perspective other than a myopic inside the U.S. perspective, you'll see that quite clearly, the appetite of the global community for U.S. dollars is diminishing.
and the U.S. rolls over trillions of dollars worth of paper every single quarter, and if they can't refinance that paper, the U.S. would immediately go bankrupt, and the only way they're going to appease these foreign creditors is to give them, throw them a bone. Either they devalue the dollar, or they have to give them California. You know, they have to give them something.
So what will that new currency, Max Kaiser, look like?
Well, you know, the new dollar currency, I know that there's a lot of talk about the Amira, of course, the North American currency. I'm not certain that's what's going to happen first. I think before we see something like that, you're going to see the U.S. has gotten very, very good at, issuing these new currencies in the last couple of years. Remember, they just came out with a peach-colored currency, a new
yes.
peach-colored $5 bill, and they keep saying we need it for the security. But basically, they're just, it's a dry run.
They're conditioning us to accept a new color, a new look, yeah.
Exactly. So this is just a dry run. There's no need to issue a new currency with the frequency that they do. They're testing the technology.
And they're getting us ready to recall all the old notes and everybody that's got a mattress to weigh to say that they're worthless.
Yeah, exactly. I was here during the euro. You know, the euro, in one day, you had a French franc. It's no good. You have a euro.
Well, Max, do this. Obviously, I'd be honored to come on your show anytime, and we're really honored and very respectful and appreciative of your important time. I know you're in demand, and I would love, because I'm a huge fan of him, I would love to get you and Alec Baldwin, even if it was on for 10 minutes, sometime in the future here on the show. So maybe you can help us set that up to promote the TV show when it's coming out.
Well, we're going to focus on the TV show, and as you know, we also share a venue with Press TV. I've been on Press TV a lot, and I'm trying to set something up with you, me, and Press TV, talking about some of these issues as well, because I think that's an excellent venue, Press TV, as you point out today. It's an international audience. It's based in Iran. You know, there's still...
Hold on, we're going back to the full audience. I'm going to say bye to you here to the full audience. Here we go. Yeah, no more Mr. Nice Guy, ladies and gentlemen. The New World Order is being born right in front of you, and America is dying financially. Max Kaiser, in closing, fire out your website again and tell us if you think this country is ever going to emerge in the next decade out of what we're facing.
Right, MaxKaiser.com, MaxKeiser. There's a link also to the radio shows that we do. I do a pod show with Stacy, who's my significant other, I guess you could call her, my love of my life. And we do a daily show, plus we have our weekly show on Resonance 104.4, The Truth About Markets. But the question about the future of the dollar and the currency, as we were just discussing it, it's not that hard to simply reissue a currency and give the and it has a different value, different serial numbers. We've already seen new currencies issued in the U.S. a few times over the past few years, different colors, different configurations.
So they're getting us ready. Bottom line, get into gold now, because you're saying you think all the evidence shows it's going to double by when?
Well, when it does double, first 2 points. When it does double, I have a very strong belief that it'll happen so fast that if you don't already own it, you won't be able to buy it. It'll be too late.
You can't buy it right now.
Well, yeah, well, I mean, you can buy it.
Just at a premium.
And you can buy, for example, if you go to a site like goldmoney.com, okay? Goldmoney.com, you go to that site, you can buy gold, and it's stored in either London or Switzerland. It's allocated gold in your name, held outside of the United States. You can go collect the gold if you want, anytime you want to. I know goldmoney.com is run by a guy named James Turk. He's a reputable guy. I have an account there myself. He's a full disclosure. He's a fantastic guy. He holds the gold. You get the current price. You know, that's it. You now have some gold, and it gives you peace of mind. And these currencies, unfortunately, all the banking fraud that has happened in the last 25 years, you know, starting with Mike Milken, Mike Milken really ushered in the 1980s a period of fraud that has just built up over 25 years, and then long-term capital management was another huge chapter.
And now it's all coming to a head. Max, let's get you back up in the near future. I appreciate you coming on with us, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, thanks, Alex.
You bet. There goes Max Keiser. Boy, that guy is something else. He's involved in just, he really did invent a bunch of some of the most modern systems that are used today. He's got his fingers in everything. I guess he's got his fingers in this show now, and we're glad to have our fingers in what he's doing. Very, very interesting person. And I think it's fine and dandy if you live in Europe to have it in one of their vaults, and they've got vaults here in the U.S., but he's right. Gold has been confiscated before, and people always ask me this. Well, then why would you hold gold, whether buried in a field or in a safety deposit box? Point is, it's better than money in a bank they can just seize or money they can devalue. There's nothing better than holding gold and silver physically. And you heard him. You know, gold's at 750 or whatever right now. Well, it's actually going up today, just like oil shot up $7 today. But when it does go up, and it will because of the dollar devaluation, they've only been manipulating things right now. Again, where you can hardly buy it, well, there's a huge premium. And when you can find it, there's a premium. But then gold was dropping, just like oil. This is manipulation. When it finally does go back up, which law of supply and demand says they can't suppress it forever, it is good to physically hold it. And sure, I mean, the government can come take your house, they can come take your life, they can come take your guns. I'm still going to own guns and buy more guns, even if they're going to try to come take them. The whole point is you don't give it up. The whole point is you don't have it in the state you're in. The whole point is let's bring Ted Anderson up for this segment into the next, and then I'm going to get Dean Barkley to pop in, and then your phone calls. Ted, you, because you've been in this business so long, you have gold and silver. And you have it at below the prices it's selling at instead of giant premiums. And I agree with Max Keiser. People are insane if they don't get gold. But I wouldn't trust really any bank or any vault. I would hold it.
You're right about that. You should have it in your own possession. Plus, also, one of the things you have to remember, Alex, that most of the European countries confiscated and illegalized gold as well. As a matter of fact, the United States was one of the first nations to make gold legal to own, and if you had gold traveling through other countries, you had to be very careful because you'd be breaking their laws. We are actually one of the more, believe it or not, liberated states still, or countries, you know, about owning gold at this time. I'm sure that those countries, if anybody's going to confiscate gold, it's going to be Europe first. I'm sure the Soviet bloc's going to follow. And, yeah, you got to be careful with these nations because I trust them less than I trust the United States, and I don't trust this place very much at all.
John, I want you to get Dean Barkley on at about 8 afterwards. We're going to do 5 minutes with him. I want to hold Ted over and talk about what he's seeing as 30 years in the gold and silver market, 12 years, or is it 13 years, with the Midas Resources, what he's seeing happen right now. Because it's even admitted, mainstream news, that they are manipulating the gold and silver market. And, yeah, things are only set to go back up. The sky's the limit. I'm going to skip this break.
The Empire.
I want to keep talking to Ted, John, okay? Hey, Ted. Is Ted, since he's in studio there, able to hear me when I skip breaks, John?
Yep, you should. Go ahead.
Or did he run off? Hey, Ted, you there? Yeah, go in there and get him to put his headset back on.
He's going back in the studio right now.
Okay, great. Anyways, folks, I do believe in owning gold and silver, and I see this down market, though it's going back up right now in the last few days, as all commodities are. I mean, wheat's selling at, what, 4 times what it was a year ago. I see this as a buying opportunity, and I think people are insane if they don't buy gold and silver. Now, we're gonna pitch folks on this, Ted, when we get back, and boy, I sure sleep good at night knowing that, because I bought gold when it was $280 an ounce. I bought it when it was $1,000 an ounce. I bought it when it's $600 an ounce. People psychologically only tend to buy when it's going up. Well, it is going up today, but nothing like it's going to be going up in the future if any common sense or any reality reigns in the world. Ted Keiser was talking about gold doubling if they do a new Bretton Woods agreement and kill the dollar as the world reserve currency.
Well, he's right about that, and I don't know how they cannot do that, because the United States is so far beyond repair, and the value of the United States currency, nobody trusts it. I mean, nobody trusts what we're doing here in the United States. This bailout thing is really bad for the United States, and the value of its currency, the value of the institutions that are out there, I mean, you just can't trust the United States to be conservative and economically sound, because we're going to bail out every single problem now that comes along. Every time there's some big company.
But it's not bailouts. They're only giving it to themselves. And we have the J.P. Morgan head and others saying, we're just giving ourselves $500 million bonuses apiece and laughing in front of reporters. I mean, these arrogant bastards, it's not enough to steal $5 trillion from us. That's what it already is, $5 trillion. Well, that's not enough, Ted. They have to rub it in and brag about it in front of everybody.
I know, and that's the thing about it. That's why there's so little trust left. I mean, if you're sitting outside of this nation and you're investing in U.S. dollar and you watch the United States government come in and sign a bill that's going to create another $1 trillion to be injected into the system, and then you see the elites or the CEOs and all the...
Freezing the credit market so they can consolidate.
Yeah, they're playing right into the hand of the people of the United States were right. We should not have done that bailout. Nobody wanted it, and for some reason our politicians did it. And I hope every single person that voted for that bill is voted out of office.
All right, Ted, we're going to go back to the full audience here in 10 seconds. Right now we're on PrisonPlanet.tv and the InfoWar streams, but I didn't want to waste any time. Did you call Dean Barkley, John?
Not yet. What time you want him at 38 after?
Yeah, just call him and say we're calling him in 5 minutes.
Okay, got
it. And I'm going to take some final calls. Here we go.
Cyrus Jones from 1810 to 1913 made his great-grandchildren believe you could live to 103. 103 is forever when you're just a little kid. So Cyrus Jones, live forever, grave digger.
Here goes the Republic up
when
in flames.
My grave.
A lot of it, Mark.
So I can feel the rain.
Don't usually smoke. I've cut it back to almost nothing, but I figured, kind of as a symbol of the country going up in smoke, burning away as the public is suckered one more time to support Barack Obama, I'd fire up a cigarette here on air. Guess it's okay if I was a fake Christian conservative and killed 1.5 million Iraqis in the last 6 years, but if I smoke a cigarette, I'll go to hell. Let's go back to Ted Anderson, and then we're going to get Dean Barkley on. Then some of your phone calls here at the end. I'll give you some of the latest election news as it comes in for everybody. Ted Anderson, we were ranting and raving on the internet behind the scenes portion of the show there about the banker takeover. And we were talking about just the open arrogance, the biggest looting ever to offshore corporations, and they're openly manipulating the gold market. And now the hyperinflation is kicking back off again, Ted.
Yeah, well, we're going to see an awful lot of that because we all know that we're going to have inflation. You can't sit and inject another $1 trillion into the system without having a devaluation of the money that already exists out there. We have earned it, we've worked for it, and now they're printing money for nothing, and they're giving it away to these CEOs or whatever, these big corporations, and they're taking these big distributions. And, you know, they're walking away with all this profit. They're using it to buy up all the small institutions that are struggling in the marketplace. They're creating huge monopolies. And what do we the people did it. I mean, we should wake up here. I mean, I don't know what the heck. I mean, like I said, if we're voting for the people that voted for that bailout right now, so help me. I mean, I got to tell you that there should not be a politician going back to Washington, D.C. that voted for this bailout package. That was one of the worst things they've ever done to us. And they set a precedence that now every time one of these big corporations are going to have a problem, they're going to be dumping money into their, they'll create problems so they can have this money. I mean, it's like free money to them, and it's just creating a huge, monstrous monopoly that's just going to come crashing down. And the people, the taxpayers, the people that actually struggle to make a living in this world are the ones that are going to end up paying the bill. It really burns my butt, I can tell
Ted,
you.
Ted, looking at the market end of things, as a gold broker, silver broker, what's it like right now? I mean, I'm seeing a lot of places still saying they're sold out of gold and silver, or there's huge premiums. Mainstream press reports talking about 50% premiums. You've actually got it at the price it is. Tell folks about those numbers.
Yeah, sure. I can tell you right now, I locked into a whole bunch of it here when gold was at 720, and silver was sitting there right around, it was at $9.87 an ounce right in there when I was picking it up. Right now, yeah, the premiums are way up there, ridiculous, with especially like Silver Eagles and that kind of thing. I just ran into a nice group of Philharmonics. If you're interested in those, you can get those. But I could. But what I picked up here is I picked up a whole bunch of those the dimes, because I mean, you watch the economy and the way that things are going on. The dimes right now are cheap. You can get them at $1.60. They're trading close to $1.80 a piece here just a few months ago.
My goodness, gold is up $41 today.
It is.
I hadn't even looked. It's at $7.63.10. Silver is way up. So Ted, you locked in at gold at $7.21, you said?
Well, that's the thing, Alex.
So tell folks the coins you've got right now.
Yeah, right now I've got the British Sovereign coin. That coin right now is trading at 241. I picked up the francs. I was able to get those down below 200. I've got them now at 198. That is not going to stay there because the gold price has just jumped up again another $60.
Okay, again, you bought at the bottom. It's up since you bought it, 40-something bucks. Regardless, ladies and gentlemen, this isn't like your dollar, where they're openly announcing Bretton Woods, a new global currency run by the bankers that engineered all this. All the financial experts are saying that is going to destroy the dollar. Whatever manipulation they do in the short term, all of the history, all of basic monetary fact shows gold and silver and other commodities are only going to explode.
And you do have to have physical delivery of it, Alex. And yes, we do have it right here sitting in my safe in stock ready to deliver. And you know, I have some people that set up IRAs and they put it into these institutions. That's fine if you're going to speculate. If you're so afraid of paying the taxes by taking an early distribution, it's better than not having it. But to have your gold and silver stored away and having a certificate that says that you own gold somewhere and you're going to have an economic meltdown like this, I mean, it's like having a picture of
it. All right, well, tell them the gold coins and the silver coins. You've got it way below their current price.
Yeah, right now we have, again, it's the franc coin that's trading at $198 per coin. And then in addition to this, we also have the British Sovereign, which is at 241. Both of those are of just a fabulous buy at this particular time. And the silver right now, 169. And everybody knows that the silver's been $20, maybe $25 an ounce to buy physical silver. You're able to get this stuff at a really good price. The market is getting hot again, and you're not going to be able to buy it. There was a time here, Alex, just a short time ago, where you could have went to any coin dealer across the United States, and it's probably still true. You're not going to be able to fill any order of any significant size. I mean, you've got to be a big player in this business to get any kind of volume. And that's just the way it is. And I hate to say it. I mean, it's not really fair, but I'm going to be out there buying every time I see a dip and, you know, stocking up as much as I can because I want my customers to get this stuff. I mean, this is the thing that's going to bail them out. We have the kind of economy right now that everybody knows there's a credit implosion going on, so they're trying to print money like crazy just to, you know, and the inflation is coming.
Ted, let me explain what you do. You buy gold when it's down. People haven't been able to buy gold and silver unless they were buying it in bulk, so you also pass on that discount. Like Max Kaiser was saying, you know, it's like $1,100, $1,200 an ounce for gold, even though it says it's $760 in Paris right now, where he broadcasts from, where he lives. So you're not paying those big premiums because Ted is buying in bulk. He is passing that savings on to you. These are loss leaders for Ted. They have the British Sovereign. They have the French and Swiss francs. They have the different silver coins from the U.S. 1-800-686-2237. 1-800-686-2237. The brokers are there. Now, Ted, gold is up $41.10 and climbing today. How long can you hold the gold at $40-plus dollars below what it is selling for in the open market?
Well, I can tell you right now, Alex, I'm going to hold it till midnight tonight, and I'll just honor every transaction no matter what gold does, and I wouldn't be surprised if it's up again tomorrow. Right now, I remember we were fishing around. I knew that there was a sell-off that was occurring. We're trying to find the bottom in the marketplace. I believe we found that at 720. I think that we're going to be seeing gold and silver prices going up as we go on here. I know we talked
about... Well, regardless, it can't be completely devalued like paper money, and it's the oldest true wealth out there, 800-686-2237. Take advantage of this today. 40-something bucks under what it's even selling for when most people can't even find it or get it or are paying huge premiums. You can't beat this deal, 800-686-2237. Ted, thanks for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having me up again, Alex.
You bet. Absolutely. You know, we know people buy gold when the market's up. But Ted has the best of both worlds. He bought it when it was cheaper and is still offering it to you for that when everybody else is not just selling it for what it's currently selling at. They're tacking on huge margins. This deal's great, 800-686-2237. I'll tell you what Ted's putting on these coins. He's putting about 3.5% on them just to pay for the transaction. Okay? 800-686-2237. Cannot beat the deal. I'm not going to keep him long, just about 5 minutes, a really busy day of radio and TV interviews. He got on CNN. They're calling it a close race with 37% undecided in Minnesota. They're deciding right now. He was appointed by Governor Jesse Ventura, outgoing, when Senator Wellstone died in the tragic crash. So he can currently be called, technically, a former senator, but he was there for a month. We want to send him back for 6 years, a full term. He's on the Independent Party in Minnesota. Dean Barkley wants to thank the audience here. You got major TV buys for his ad. You can watch at SenatorBarkley.com. We also have it up at Infowars.com. You helped finish producing it and getting it on the air late last week and right through to today. So I wanted to just bring Dean Barkley up for 5 minutes. Dean, good to have you here.
Nice to be on, Alex.
I tell you, I just want to thank my audience, and I know you wanted a chance again to thank them, because regardless of what happens, it was another example of taking action the way they came in and gave to the campaign.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, your listeners gave our campaign the boost we needed. We've been up on the air since last Thursday. The ads are going over very, very well. It's just the boost I needed, and who knows what's going to happen today. The Minnesota voters are going to do the kind of future they want.
Dean, I mean, what info can you give us? I mean, the polls are all over the map. It shows you've narrowed in some of them, but regardless, you have all, Ventura was 8 points behind on Election Day and then won by, 3 points? I mean,
yep.
As the results start coming in, when are they saying we're going to hear in Minnesota some of the results? I know it's going to be the reported record turnout in Minnesota.
We already heard some early exit polling from the early voting we had in Minnesota, and we are doing phenomenally well in the early voting. We are in the low 30s in the exit polling, and that was in the metropolitan Minneapolis area, which is very strong Democratic territory.
And that's in a three-way race. That's in a three-way.
Right, that's in the three-way race. I'm in position here. Anything could happen. We're going to have a record turnout in Minnesota. They're predicting over an 80% voter turnout, and that means about 40% of those people showing up have not been polled. They haven't been counted, and depending on what those 40% do, they're going to elect the next senator from Minnesota, and I'm very confident we may shock the world here again. Every 10 years or so, we need a shock.
Well, it's a big deal to send somebody to the U.S. Senate, and you've been there before. You need to go back this time for a full term, as I said earlier. The only thing that may kill you, and the thing I'm worried about, is mindless party voting, straight ticket voting, where somebody just lazily clicks for a whole party, Republican or Democrat. I hope they take the time out to go through all those races, and I hope they vote a split ticket, and I hope they vote for Dean Barkley.
Well, you know, I know a lot of people in Minnesota now are thinking they like me, they like what I'm saying, they want to vote for me, but they're afraid that if they vote for me, they might get either Franken or Coleman. I'm saying vote for your first choice out of what you want, not out of your second choice out of fear of the third choice. You know, for once in your life, vote for who you want to do or who you want to send there. And if they do that, I will go. If they don't, I won't. It's that simple. If they vote their heart of what they really want, then I'll be your next U.S. senator. But I don't know what the Minnesota voters are going to do, but I have confidence they're going to do the right thing.
Well, it's like Governor Ventura always says, don't vote like it's a horse race for who you think the winner will be. Vote for the person that'll say no to the bailout, no to the war, no to the war on drugs, no to the New World Order. Dean Barkley will do all of that. And regardless of what happens, I want to get you back up in the next few days to talk about the aftermath, win, lose, or draw. And regardless, we win by taking action. So I salute the listeners of this show, and Ted Anderson, who I know donated, and myself and everybody else who donated, thank you, because we've got to at least stand up and vote for good third-party candidates when we get them, people who support Ron Paul, like Senator Dean Barkley. Dean, thanks for coming on with us.
Well, thank you, Alex, and again, thanks to your listeners. They made it happen.
You bet. SenatorBarkley.com. Take care. All right, I know we got a lot of calls here, John, and I got my call list mixed up. Let's just take a bunch of calls here at the end. Who's first up here?
Josh in California.
Josh in California, you're on the air. Welcome.
Hi.
Hi.
I've just wanted to tell you
some experience at college I've had with trying to do 9/11 truth and just some other side notes, I guess.
Okay.
I'm in a state university in California, and I actually just moved here about a year ago, and I noticed the market is basically tons of $500,000 houses just completely empty. You know, people couldn't even, the banks couldn't even get anybody to get in the houses. So when I moved here, I was like, wow, you know, this is going to fall. And I started telling people that, had no idea, but now it's happened. And so, you know, I just gained a little credibility. But there's been a bomb threats at my college that weren't actually threats. They were just kind of nowhere. The administration, the police just put up police tape and stuff.
Yeah, that's drills. Most of these bomb threats, and later comes out, or bio attacks, are drills. They just don't tell you it's a drill till later. It's all part of terrorizing you, getting you used to black uniforms, secret police.
Well, these were two fake-looking pipes. Like, I guess somebody just said, hey, that could be a bomb. It's kind of ironic.
No, it's all, again, by having all the bomb drills and all the things, then people start seeing cardboard boxes or tin cans and thinking they're bombs. I've got to let you go. Your Skype phone is just unintelligible. Call me back when you're on a regular phone line sometime, Josh. Mike in California, you're on the air. Welcome.
How you doing, Alex?
Good.
Abby, real quick, I just want to thank you for all the good work you do. I'm a follower of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. I know you get a lot of callers that kind of, you know, bust your chops a little bit, but I think you're doing a good job and keep it up.
Thank you.
With that being said, I just wanted to echo, like, being that the New World Order is predominantly white, what do you think their plans are for the black leaders that they use to do whatever they do? What is their long-term plan for those?
Well, I agree. In fact, that's a point I meant to make in the first hour for an article we're writing about this. This Barack Obama is coming into office when the economy is imploding, when everything's falling apart, when the dollar is dying, and so there's going to be a honeymoon, and then he's going to get blamed for all of it, and the image in people's minds is going to be, okay, 140 years after slavery was abolished, we get a black president, and look what happens when the guy's a puppet and did none of it, runs none of it, and they're going to do all this evil in his name. And then blacks are going to get blamed for that, just like Texans got blamed for George Bush when he's not from Texas.
Mm. And why is it that the Black Panthers, you mentioned earlier, you said the Black Panthers are blocking whites from voting. What is that about?
Well, no, I just reported it because it's the top of the Drudge Report, and I said it's from Fox News, so I said it may not be true.
Oh, okay. And also, if the dollar completely collapsed, or if the economy completely collapsed, do you think that means the complete end of America?
It means a hardcore police state, government control of jobs, hellish consolidation, all by design, and then it'll be up to the people whether we ever get out of it or not. The government needs confidence. It needs to have leaders. That's like when a lot of third world countries are being looted, they'll have another president every 6 months. Like, oh, change, 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 just to stall the people while the bankers are stealing everything. And that's pretty much what I see Barack Obama as just stalling people, trying to fool them so that they think there's a change. When the same international banks run and own it all, they're the ones doing it. Look, they're announcing more brigades for the American people, more army on the streets. That's going to continue under Obama. That would continue under McCain. These men are puppets. And as soon as we start realizing that, then we can start getting some real change.
Yeah, because, you know, Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson with his Rainbow Push Coalition and all of them, I mean, when you talk about the lead in the water, and the vaccine shots and all that stuff, none of these guys, I don't hate them, but none of them have done anything, have taken any steps to inform the community that they claim to represent about some of these things.
That's what I'm saying. We're under attack. The government's been taken over. It's a military-industrial complex. We're under martial law already, basically, with the culture and the media and Congress being threatened with martial law. They didn't submit. And so all we can do is talk about the real issues instead of these diversions about hope and change. And then, meanwhile, Barack Obama's owned and paid for by the very same people that own John McCain and George Bush. That's all I'm pointing out, is that people are going to see change more than the New World Order. I'm going to skip this break, too, so we can finish up, come back with more calls, and cover what's happening with the election. We'll be tracking all the election fraud and any crises that unfold as well.
Ionic Zone.
Okay, let me go back to him. We're still on PrisonPlanet.tv and on the Infowars.com streams, Mike. You know, this hurts me. You're still there, right, Mike?
Yeah, I'm here.
Because I'm so angry with the government, the engineers, the eugenicists, the New World Order crowd, that I know are racist, I know are evil, I know put HIV in the vaccines, not just in Africa, but that's where they really focus things. I know they hate black people, especially for some reason. And so right. Then I see him with Barack Obama, and then I see him bought and paid for by the same people. And then I see, you know, compared to Bush, he looks great. He, you know, seems nicer, friendlier, smarter. You know, I'm so sick of George Bush. I love seeing somebody that at least can talk nice, because it, you know, doesn't make me feel like I'm being insulted with some stuttering drug addict moron like George Bush. But at the same time, I know that he's New World Order, and I know it's going to end bad. And then I got so many black folks and white liberals sending me emails going, you're just racist. You just don't want a black president. I could care less. Number one, I know presidents are puppets. So if I was a white racist, why would I care if there's some black puppet? And especially if I was a white racist, I want your take on this. I would love it that they're going to be setting him up and blame him for everything that's going to happen. Go ahead.
Well, I agree, because then if they do blame him, it's like, okay, you had a black guy did it, or it happened under his watch type deal. So I can see it definitely going that route. But what I don't get, you know, and even though I'm a follower of Elijah Muhammad, I'm pretty sure we have some differences in our ideology. I just think folks should focus. We should focus on the things that we do agree on, and that is that you have an elite out there whose sole purpose is to go out and do harm to people or create a unstable environment that they can control.
Well, that's it. What's the name of the Nation of Islam? The Final Call of the Trumpet. What is it?
Well, that's the paper, The Final Call, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, I remember reading Eustace Mullins, you know, ads for books about the private Federal Reserve, and don't take vaccines, and don't use drugs, the man shipping them in, and be strong, and have strong families. I totally agree with all of that, because I want all communities to be strong. I'm a moral person. I don't like seeing people do bad. I'm not in race politics, but then I see Louis Farrakhan come out and endorse Obama, but I mean, what do you expect him to do? If he didn't do that, half his congregation would quit. I don't agree with him on that.
I don't think we should support anyone that backs up policies that are detrimental to black people.
Or anybody. Look. White folks love the police state in the black neighborhoods, the racist whites, about 30% of whites. They love it. Don't they know that's training for their neighborhood? I mean, my God, if I don't have empathy for a black child being killed with an HIV injection through a polio shot cover, I mean, how would I not empathize? I mean, how would I not care? I mean, you know, people think we can kill Iraqi children, but then that won't happen to us here at home. Go ahead. You've got the floor, sir. Let's go back to the full audience here. All right, we're back live, ladies and gentlemen. My SDN line just cut out. We'll get reconnected there. Having a lot of problems with those. You've got the final word here, Mike. I wanted to let you finish up with what I was just saying in the behind-the-scenes talk.
Mike dropped off.
Okay, Mike dropped off. Yeah, and John, that's why we've got to keep both ISDNs connected. They're both constantly dropping now. Let's take a few final calls, no pun intended. Who's up after Mike?
Borland in Minnesota.
Borland in Minnesota. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hello, Mike. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, my name's Alex,
okay.
But go ahead.
Hey, I just wanted to comment on what people said, and doesn't really matter who is going to be in office. They're both pretty much the same, and it won't make any difference because they're both owned by the same people, the globalist. Kabbalists. I can hear people getting really excited. Oh, Obama's going to do this. Obama's going to do that. Well, he cannot do any of that has not been approved. He just does not have the freedom to do all the things that he wants, because he's going to do exactly what he was told to do. The whole idea is to get all the people to go and vote. And recently I came across an interesting book of a gentleman that has done really in-depth good work on the Constitution and the process of voting. Basically, you mentioned previously that when people sometimes get stopped, pulled over, they can get arrested for being citizens. And the ones that are not citizens, they're just left alone. The whole thing is the key word here is citizen. And this book that I'm talking about is called the Red Amendment. It was written by a person who spent a lot of time researching the...
That's the kind of stuff I deal with here on air. That's the great thing about the behind-the-scenes stuff, because I got these headphones blaring so I can hear that low caller, and then that comes in.
Hello?
Yeah, caller, I'm going to let you go. I'm going to let you go. We're having technical difficulties right here at the end of the show. I appreciate your call. Sometimes things just go completely to hell in a handbasket here. We're not going to take any more calls. If any riots break out, God forbid, we're not saying that's going to happen. People will edit that together and have me saying it on the web. If anything breaks out like the police are saying it could, if anything develops, if there's I'm sure there's already election fraud on both sides going on everywhere. It's constantly happening. We will have Bev Harris on tomorrow. We will have a host of other guests on tomorrow as we track. Tomorrow will really be the big show. In the aftermath, we're going to know who the president is. I'm up here tonight on Foreign TV, Foreign Radio. I may... sometime tonight, just be listening to the audio streams at Infowars.com and the feeds at PrisonPlanet.tv go live for a few hours tonight as things develop so we can report on what's happening. In fact, I'll just go live tonight. You know, we should know a lot by 8 o'clock. I'll either go live at 8 p.m. Central or 9 p.m. Central. And I'll do an hour or two then. I'm going to be up here at the office doing interviews. I'll play it by ear. I've got an interview at 10 o'clock Central, so I've got to be off the air by then. I want to thank all the callers. I want to thank everybody that's tuning in to the radio show and the TV show. I want to thank all the affiliates, sponsors, everybody. Tonight, we also have a toll-free number here at my studio. And so we'll be able to take your phone calls and comment on the election. You know what? Instead of waffling around... I'll go live tonight here at 8 o'clock, 8 p.m. All right, retransmission starts now at Infowars.com. I had a key rant on the left-right paradigm at the start of the show for 30 minutes. I think it's key. Please record it. Get it out to everybody. God bless you all. Thanks for tuning in. Take care. We'll be right back.